Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The beast. The man.
You gotta beat the man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
And this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki, is it?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God.
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio, both for the Wild Talk Radio Network. Our number, as always, is 267-297-1397. If you Skype, you need to add Sir Rockin'. He is two words to your agenda, and he will get with us. Unfortunately, we were supposed to open this program this evening with Sid Vicious, who is a part of a brand new film coming out with Kurt Angle and Kevin Nash. It is called River of Darkness. Green Apple Entertainment will be releasing it into stores and on sale on March 29th. However, due to the flu, and we just spoke with him, so we know it's the flu.
It's legit.
Sid will not be joining us tonight. We have tentatively scheduled him for next week to be a part of our WCW 10th anniversary funeral, so to speak. So we appreciate him at least giving us a heads up on that, and we apologize if you came here to listen to Sid. Don't worry, 10 p.m.-ish, we did a pre-tape with the one and only Steve Corino, OWW Radio Baseball Analyst. I can't believe I get to call him that. And hopefully it was a good audition. We're going to send the tape to ESPN and MLB Network and see if we can get Steve a job.
Man needs himself a job.
Yes, Mason,
Dixie Carter.
Our normal contributors are joining us here. Believe me, you want to stick around and listen to what Steve had to say about a lot of stuff, because I'm not a big fan of opening on the show on a somber note, but we're going to because we want to preface for later on. Steve is a regular in Japan. Steve has worked for Hustle. Steve has been the American booker for 01. For years, he was friends with Shinya Hashimoto and many others, and he was obviously very upset. He had just literally come back from a tour of Japan. So
didn't
that
you
kind
say
of
Hashimoto at one point was the hardest guy to ever hit him?
Yeah. I have on DVD still the night here in Tampa at the NWA National Convention when he lost the championship to Hashimoto in a knockout situation, and he brought that up a bunch of times, said it was he was vicious, but he was a nice guy. That just seems like something weird in the wrestling business. He beat the crap out of me, but he's a nice guy.
Well, Sid genuinely seemed like a nice guy.
Oh, yeah, and I said we feel really bad, but he will be available for us next week. Unfortunately, we're going to open the floodgates. So don't forget, you can call in 267-297-1397 because we have to address, as Spug put it when we talked with Steve Carino, the 700-pound gorilla in the room, and that would be Mr. Jeffrey Nero Hardy, who is not the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, thank the maker. We'll address everything that happened on Impact as well as the last week's Impact, which was a car wreck on car wrecks as it was, and can be proven by the ratings that 100,000 less people tuned in to this past Thursday's Impact, which saw Nikki Rocks come in for a one-shot, it looks like, to lay down for Madison Rayne, and there's going to be another former knockout coming back in again for this situation. And we feel bad. I feel bad personally because I like Nikki as a person, and we might, Mace. We haven't decided yet if we're going to spoil completely the next two Impact. We can tell you Jeff Hardy was sent home. He was told, go home, do whatever. We did see the Pope Angelo De Niro defeat Samoa Joe. We saw the beautiful people in Winter defeat Angelina, Sarita, and Cookie, which was just, I'm sitting there just watching women's wrestling go down a toilet when you look at the roster of WSU and Shimmer and other promotions around the country, and I'm just going, huh? We had Ink Inc. defeat Jen Mi with Beer Money on commentary, and we'll address the pay-per-view in a moment. Nature War Ric Flair bled like God knows what on Thursday's Impact, defeating AJ Styles and Matt Hardy. I mean, Matt Hardy and everybody. Oh. And then I'm still trying to figure this one out. Maybe the boys can help me out with this. But RVD and Sting ended up as a tag team to take on Mr. Anderson and Jeff Hardy. And I don't understand it, but hey, it is what it is. Here's what happened at the pay-per-view if you didn't bother to purchase it. And I guarantee if TNA released public numbers, not a lot of people did. We did because it's our jobs to do it. Tommy Dreamer, with the help of Devon and the boys, defeated Bully Ray in a old-school ECW-like street fight.
I still say the blow-up doll should have won.
Oh, yeah, that was just – I'm sitting there watching it with the guys from Wrestle Talk Radio, and all of a sudden out comes a blow-up doll, and I'm going, okay, so does this mean this is a triple threat match now? I was waiting for Borash to chime in and go, call it, hey, it's a triple threat, awesome. But alas, Borash did not. Sarita and Rosita are your brand new knockout tag team champions. They defeated Winter and Angelina Love after Velvet's interference backfired. In a Eddie Guerrero tribute match, which if you get my reference in a minute here, Sean Hot Stuff Hernandez defeated Matt Morgan after Hernandez squirted fake blood on Matt Morgan's abdomen while the referee had taken a bump in the ring. And I said to someone today, I said, that was really cool. About 10 years ago, and Eddie Guerrero probably did it somewhere in a ring with the lie, cheat, and steal setup. In the match that none of the WTR staff seemed to enjoy, but I do. I don't know why I do. I'm not a big Spot Fest fan, but the Ultimate X to me is one of the most creative matches. Frankie the Future Kazarian of Fortune is still your champion, defeating Robbie E and a ladder. And both members of Generation Me that believe they've done 24 of them, according to what Taz and Mike Tenay said. And that was the first time I had ever seen a ladder get involved and Robbie going, I can get it this way. And then Frankie going, really, watch this. I'm going to become part of Ringling Brothers and walk the tightrope. Your tag team champions are still Beer Money, defeating Ink Inc. and seeing what seemed to be maybe a tag team split, maybe not, with Shannon Moore and Jesse Neal. Matt Hardy lost, shockingly, to AJ Styles. Mr. Anderson and RVD were supposed to have a number one contenders match, kids, and guess who the number one contender is? That would be nobody. That would be nobody because they wrestled to a double countout. And as you've seen countless times on YouTube, probably just type in Sting versus Jeff Hardy, Victory Road 2011. I'll wait. because by the time I tell you what happened, you'll already have watched what happened. Jeff Hardy comes to the ring, Sting follows, we're about to do the intro, and here's Eazy-E, who says we're going to change things up because Sting shocked Jeff Hardy, I'm going to shock you, and I'm going, here comes Anderson and RVD, I'm turning this into a no DQ match, and time it, because we did, a minute and 28 seconds later, Sting is still your world heavyweight champion.
Well, he was supposed to retain anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, but good on, you know, we bash Eazy-E a lot. Good on him for, on the fly, just sort of going, all right, you know, because we're going to talk about the situation he really was dealing with in a second. But just dealing with that and going, well, you surprised us last Thursday, so guess what? We're going to surprise you now. You know, good on him for that.
And as I said, it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room because Mace can attribute to it, Ciroc and our producer can attribute to it. As soon as that pay-per-view ended, we're sitting here at 10:42, and they're running the entire show back going, and this is what happened. I'm sitting there going, okay, so they're going to bring everybody back out, right? Immediately reports went out. I believe Mace found one that Jeff Hardy was immediately arrested by Orlando police. There was one that Hardy collapsed. There was it almost turned into a, you know, let's see how wacky it can get backstage. We'll go to Mace and then we'll go back to Spud. I mean, just the enormity of this whole situation and the danger of sending someone who, and for fans that are new to our show, both Mace and Spud are professional wrestlers. They take time off from the business sometimes, but they come back. To Mace, if you were in that situation where your opponent going from gorilla to the ring, you know he is incoherent. Would you have handled it the same way Sting did and go, okay, I'm just going to lock up with you and I'm going to hit my move and double leg you. And if you try to kick out, too damn bad, or what would you have done?
I probably would have thrown in a few extra stiff punches just to say to the guy, you know, don't do this ever again or else you are going to get screwed up a lot worse. But Sting really did do the right thing. He pretty much forced Hardy into the situations and made sure that it was going to end as quickly as possible. And like Spoke said, you know, all props to Eazy-E. You know, you could tell when the dude was coming out that he was going to... this was not Eazy-E the character. This was Eazy-E the dude that ran WCW like brilliantly back in, you know, the early days. Excuse me, I got a phone call.
Ooh, go. We've addressed this before, Spug, about going to the ring and the dangers of going to the ring, be it the Ultimate X, Steel Cage, the Barbed Wire Massacre, that kind of thing, but have you ever been in that kind of situation in a locker room where your opponent is a little, had a couple cocktails or maybe has taken a soma or two and you're looking at the promoter going, you're seriously going to send this guy out here? If you were in control, would you have done what Bischoff did? Let him go to the ring and embarrass the crap out of himself so you can send him to celebrity rehab or somewhere else?
Well, I hate to reference this and make a joke about it, but as we unfortunately found out last week, celebrity rehab doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah, and I'm still in shock about the death of Mike Starr, which is horrible.
I know. But first of all, he would have never got to the gorilla position. He would not have gotten to the entrance. If I'm Eazy-E, and I know he's effed up, he's not making it to the gorilla position. Because what I'm doing is I'm going out there before Sting even gets out there and saying, you know what? We just had a number one contenders match that ended, you know, without a finish. So you bring out RVD again. You bring out Ken Anderson again. You know, and if you can quickly explain the situation to them in the back, you do. And and off you go. And you have Ken Anderson versus RVD versus Sting for the world title.
Yeah, and it just bothered me. Like I said, when I was watching the event with you guys, and then we discussed it on Wrestle Talk Radio, my initial thoughts when they did, when Eric came out was, okay, they're turning this into a fatal four-way, or they're turning this into something to get the belt back on Hardy. And to him, you could just see when Sting got to the ring, it something
he was
just
pissed.
Didn't see. Yeah, he just had the stone. I know the difference between you're working your gimmick and you're pissed off, and you could just see the body language and everything. And the amazing part is, and I had to see the replay to believe it, because I didn't believe it when Spug and Omega and Mace were talking about it, was fans are chanting, bull, add your obligatory
I think
word
we can
there.
Say that on the air, can't we?
Okay, fine. I'll say the fans were chanting bullshit. Sorry, Brad and Jason, but they were. They were chanting bullshit, and they were chanting it really damn loud, to the point that Sting turned around and said to the camera side right of him, or left,
agree.
I agree with you, and said it again, I agree with you. So there's stories going around that this was a worked shoot, which, you know,
no,
if you were, you know, someone that remembers Bash at the Beach 2000, that's a work shoot, kids. This was absolutely unbelievable to sit there and just go, what? And, you know, he was sent home from the two tapings that happened last night and tonight. The first one will air on St. Patrick's Day, so toss a couple back when you watch the show. And they're already.
Jeff Hardy will be.
Done. Yeah, because he won't be there. He has a court date, I believe, on Wednesday to have his continuance again. So we have the two sets of spoiler notes that are going down at this event, over the next 2 weeks. And, they're downright brutal. And normally we don't do spoilers on this program, but this just screams of sitting there, my 2-year-old sitting there and Spug's child sitting there with some crayons and going, okay, Alan and Spug want you to write up this week's card for TNA. That's what this feels like. No.
Well, I believe a small conversation between myself and Phil Strum the following day, which consisted of Phil actually quoting me, I believe it was last week on the program, where I said Charlie Sheen could book TNA better.
He may be coming.
He actually believed that Charlie Sheen booked last Sunday's pay-per-view.
Yeah, is he winning when he does it? Whatever that catchphrase is that
winning
uses. Yeah, I mean, and we'll address all the celebrity stuff that's going on with TNA and with WWE. We'll talk about the 2-foot woman that was on the show last night. But this, I'm skimming the notes for.
Oh, we can talk about the Hogan thing too.
Oh, we can bring up Hogan. We can bring up everything. Hogan has just been. There's stories going around with Honky Tonk Man, which we'll address in a minute. But
I'm talking more about what Hogan said. The tsunami of wrestling.
Oh, that part. Yeah.
Yeah, but a little addition to that. Sorry to cut you off, Alan. Hogan has apologized via Twitter about that, and that part will not make it to air.
Yeah, I did.
I hope not.
I did see that he apologized for it, and I said it on WNL last night because I called in. And by the way, people were amazed that I could be civil.
What?
And, yeah,
you are a civil person.
Stay tuned later, because Spug's going to get a lot less civil towards the end of the show.
Oh, yeah. We'll unleash the hounds, so to speak, when we get after Steve Corino's interview. We'll get the lawyers on the line and protect us.
But I was talking about it to them last night, and I said, you know, we've all misspoken. We've all said something that we didn't mean to say, or it came out wrong when we, you know, we thought of it in the back of our head and it sounded good at the time. So, you know, I can't really crucify Hogan publicly for it. And he apologized, so it's not like it's that huge of a deal.
Yeah, don't mind my silence, because I just got through the results for tonight's TV taping. And if you're expecting a number one contender to be named on the 17th or the 24th, you got a better shot of having Jenna Jameson show up at your house and say, hi, I'm here for your 3 o'clock. There will be no number one contender announced between now and the time the show airs on the 24th. You will see returns of a few people. Kazuchika Okada, who's now being called Okato, will compete. We will have the return of a former TNA World Champion. Why, I have no idea. The masked guy's coming back.
Masked guy?
Yeah. The guy with Janice, he's back.
Oh,
with a new look, by the way.
With a new look?
Heaven forbid. Yeah, it's listed here. If you were wondering who charged in during the Matt Morgan, Hot Stuff Fernandez match, you'll find him on the TV tapings for the 24th. He's being called Esteban. He is a former OVW performer. I think he's a current OVW champion, whose name unfortunately is slipping my head, so I apologize for that. But this is just, as someone who has covered his product since day one, I said this on Russell Talk Radio, and I know I'm about to repeat myself to certain listeners, but I apologize for it. And I know I'm doing this every week, but this is how I feel about this. To sit and watch a company, and Steve Corino will talk about it later on when we talk about ECW and ROH, but to sit there and watch this company go through so many reinventions over the years. They reinvented themselves in 04 when they came from Nashville to stay straight into Orlando. And they kind of did a reinvention when Christian Cage and Kurt Angle came in. That's his name, Matt Barella. Thank you to one of our folks in our chat room. And kind of had a reinvention again with the Main Event Mafia, and really had a reinvention on January 4th of last year with the Hogan Bischoff regime. Everybody do your mini-me quotes as you say that. But, and how, when we had Dutch Mantel on, he brought it up. When we had Jim Cornette on, he brought it up. You have these brilliant minds that could book a kindergarten class in the wrestling and sell the joint out. What is both of them said it, and it's not news to anybody, but it's not Hogan, it's not Russo, it's not Bischoff. It seems like it's everyone all in a bunch here. That, you know, when we had Dave Lagana on a few weeks ago, Mace, he had said he hadn't been with the company for so long. But how long can you, as Bob Carter, who's signing these checks to your daughter, go, you know, something's not right here in Orlando, kids? I mean, am I just blabbering and rambling on, Mace, or is there some coherence to what I'm saying here?
Well, you know, at this point in time, I'm going to say it. TNA is pretty much dead in the water. They're not gaining any momentum, but they haven't lost any either. Nobody really wants to watch, but people are still watching because it's become a car wreck. TNA is the Charlie Sheen of wrestling. Pure and simple. You know, but yeah. If I'm the guy signing the checks, I'd be looking at it going, I might have to reduce it by a zero every week until they start actually trying to make some money.
Just to sit there, I mean, you spoke about it on Sunday, and we had a bit of an exchange, which was healthy to have about Hulk Hogan and other stuff. But have your feelings changed at all, Spug, or is this just, you know, worse than the dying days of WCW? Where at
it
least
is worse.
At least in WCW, you had some semblance of control. Here, it's just, huh, what, who, where, what? It's like ping pong balls going off, and it's like, okay, let's see if this sticks to the wall.
What's bad is that you have someone who was the director of marketing, and yeah, it was country music, but come on, she knows marketing. And you have an individual who quite possibly at one point was damn near responsible for the almost death of WWF. And you're telling me you have those two brilliant minds and you can't put something together that actually draws a damn? Now maybe we're looking at this all the wrong way. Maybe we're looking at it all the wrong way. For the simple fact of Bischoff's made so much damn money, he doesn't need to be inventive or creative anymore, and he'll get paid for the rest of his life. Dixie Carter, if this fails, she can always go back to Nashville.
Where I think she still lives. I believe she still runs Trifecta Entertainment and still aspects of country music.
Right. So, I mean, maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. They have nothing to lose. They don't. Nothing ventured is nothing gained. So, you don't have anyone who has any moniker of dignity to see this product be successful. In the fact of, we have all this tremendous talent. We have a very bright mind in marketing. We have an individual who single-handedly damn near killed WWF. Let's make this awesome. And there's none of that. There's none of that. There's no support from the network. There's no support from Spike TV. Now, granted, as a network head, why would you want to support a product like that? But you have to have a little bit of support. You have to have a little bit of, if we go out on the road, are you going to be there to follow?
Yeah, because I mean, I'm not even sure on the exact numbers on the crowd that was in Fayetteville, but what I do believe, it was told by people that were there that it was... For that building, it was pretty good, and I'm not sure the exact number, but as I said, we had Kevin Scott come on last week, and I brought it up on Wrestle Talk Radio. Kevin is like me. He's a big, huge TNA person, and to have somebody like Kevin go, I'm done. I mean, Tim Stein, if you didn't, go listen to the archive of Wrestle Talk Radio from this past Sunday. Tim Stein has pretty much said, on Wrestle Talk Radio, they're done talking TNA. And that's just insane to hear that a humongous show that reaches such a big audience like this one does is turning around and going, you know what, TNA? No, screw you. We don't want to watch you anymore. I got to bring up a news item that came across today, and it's only because... it involves TNA Wrestling and Daphne, also known as Shannon Spurgill. She issued a statement today through her Twitter account concerning her status with TNA Wrestling and has confirmed that she has parted ways with the organization. And her contract did end today, and company officials have opted not to renew it. She claims that she is unsure if her contract was not being renewed because it's filing a workers' comp claim against the organization due to injuries. This is a quote directly from Daphne. Yesterday, my picture was taken off the TNA roster page. My contract expires today, and TNA did not renew it. I do not know if it has anything to do with it, but I've made a workers' comp claim against them due to injuries I sustained in their ring, and my lawyer has said not to go into any more details. Now, if you don't remember it, fans, back in April, unfortunately, April 20th to be exact, a girl named Miss Betsy, who worked for TNA for a cup of coffee as Rosie Lots of Love, was used in a dark match against Daphne, and she was severely injured in that match. She was diagnosed with a deeply bruised sternum, severe stinger, and a concussion. She did make a return to TNA in June at an Explosion taping and wasn't involved again until December 9th when she was a part of the company. According to a few TNA employees, there was an issue between Daphne and the company regarding a medical expense being covered as she suffered a concussion taking a bump through a barbed wire board at the October 9th Bound for Glory event. The issue has been brewing for some time as of late, which explains why she hasn't been used. Now, unfortunately, Mace, this isn't different. We had Homicide on over during the last part of 2010. He was injured in Coney Island when they did their show out there. I was witness to seeing Conan be injured and have to suffer and hobble to the ring and deal with that. I mean, I don't know the proper rhetoric on this. You know, maybe you do from having worked for organizations abroad, but we'll use your promotion as an example and then we'll ask Spug the same thing in a moment. If you're injured on a show, is it the promoter's responsibility to handle your medical bills or is it yours? Who takes
on the independent scene? On the independent scene, it is your responsibility to take care of your own medical bills.
Okay.
However, when you're in a big company like WWE or TNA, you'd think they'd have something in place for this. But no, all wrestlers everywhere, no matter what level you are still considered independent contractors. Therefore, you are meant to be able to take care of your own medical bills. You get injured, tough luck.
Yeah, I think someone just asked.
It's a shame in wrestling. It really is.
Yeah, Jersey Girl just brought up, can people do that? Can Darren Drozdov do that? From what I've heard, and I think Rare Animal brings it up in his book, and he may have brought it up on this past Tuesday, that, remember Darren Drozdov was injured in the Nassau Coliseum in a match against D'Lo Brown. And it's unconfirmed, but we believe that Darren is on the WWE payroll for life. I know from hearing certain stuff, and it's all speculation on this one, so he can come back and yell at me, but I heard a story back in the day that when Jamie Noble lost his job in 2005, the story going around the trades was he had taken a shot into his tush, basically, and the needle broke off, and he went to the emergency room with it, and pulled out his WWE company insurance card and told them that, oh, I took a B12 shot and injured myself. So I'm not 100% sure, you know, what to believe anymore. I know from back in the day when Johnny Devine and Eric Young and certain Canadian wrestlers got injured, they joked around with me, and I don't know how true it was. But when they were working for TNA Wrestling, they got hurt on the roster. They were going, yeah, they want me to go to the hospital here, but I think I'm going to go back home to Canada and get looked at because they have different health care than we do. But, I mean, is it a point where I know it's wrestling and I know it's sports entertainment and I know it's an A industry, but isn't there a point where you look and you see what happened to Anderson and that legitimate concussion he suffered, and you look at other sports like pro football, like the NHL, Major League Baseball, where you're getting severe concussions and you're covered because of the Players Association deal? WWE, and we'll talk WWE later on in the show. You know, it just boggles my mind that, you know, the Screen Actors Guild has never stepped in and said, you know, these guys are on TV. They're doing quote unquote stunts. You know, we're going to bring all of you and put you under our medical care, Mace. Because if you read one of Mick Foley's books, and I believe it might have been the first one, Have a Nice Day, he talked about, because he appeared on, I think it was Man Good versus Eve, G versus E, that he had dialogue. He got a SAG card, and he was like, I've got health care. This is awesome. I mean, I know I'm rambling, and I apologize for it, but bottom line for me, if you're a WWE or a TNA performer, wouldn't that just make sense? I know the independent contractor thing is there, Mace, but come on, this is 2011.
Yeah, well, then it brings around the same old argument of should we unionize wrestling or have like a Screen Actors Guild version of wrestling? you know, it would be a great thing to do, at least in some people's eyes. Other people would see it as something that would probably kill, you know, kill people getting into companies and stuff like that. You know, it's the weird thing is nobody really knows what to class wrestling anymore because, you know, some people are saying technically it's not a sport. Other people are saying, well, it's not quite entertainment either. You know, it's not like doing stunts in a movie or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's in this weird middle ground that nobody seems to be able to classify. And that's why, you know, the whole independent contractor thing exists, because it is in that middle ground. Nobody can really control it. Because, you know, I know over in the States they have, like, your boxing and wrestling commissions. Mm-hmm. They don't oversee anything Vince does because Vince turns around and goes, well, we're sports entertainment, damn it. And, you know, all of a sudden, okay, they're not classes of sports, so we can't regulate them. You know, Screen Actors Guild comes in and goes, oh, well, your guys are pretty much actors. No, they're athletes. Okay, so yeah. Screen Actors Guild can't do anything. You know, yeah, Vince has had this real good way of maneuvering himself around, you know, the little traps to keep his profit margins up, and, you know, pretty much if you get injured, well, there's the door.
Yeah, and to our resident in the chat room, Philly5512, asking me, am I being overly generous lumping TNA with WWE? I'm just talking wrestling in general. TNA, WWE, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Evolve, Dragon Gate USA, even your NWA or local promotion. I'm just saying that it's downright scary that if I get hurt at an event, most promoters, from what I know of, have some form of insurance to rent the building or to have a promoter's license. I think that's how it is in New York. We have Michael O'Brien on of Northeast Wrestling. I believe he mentioned something about that. I know that's why Frank Goodman doesn't run in New York anymore under the UXW banner. So, I mean, it's a tricky situation, and we may be able to try it if Tim Stein, our emperor, is around. We can try to get that out of him.
At the same time, you know, it all comes down to, you remember, in this day and age, when we talk anything generalized, we always talk branding first. You know, when you think wrestling, you think WWE or, to a lesser extent, TNA. The same thing when people turn around and go mixed martial arts, the first words out of their mouth are UFC. You know, we are a society that bases generalizations based on brands. You know, it's like Band-Aid is not really what you would call, you know, the little strips. You know, they're medical adhesive strips, but Band-Aid is the brand that we associate with it. Same thing with wrestling. You know, you say wrestling, people go, oh, WWE.
Yeah, which brings up a question, too, and since you and Spug host Tap Out to Knockouts, which is a podcast event, also live on the nights that there are UFC and Strikeforce events.
It's just
which
live
is now
on the nights that there's Strikeforce and UFC.
Right, which is now one big, huge banner. What is the situation in UFC? If you get injured at a UFC event, is it the same type of situation? Do you get, you know, what happens?
Like, what do you mean?
If you're injured.
I missed the context of the question. I was talking to the
Okay, well, if you're injured in a WWE situation like a Darren Drozdoff back in the day, or, you know, when Triple H did his leg or something along those lines, all the stuff you see in the "don't try this at home" bumper, we've gotten the generalization that if you're an indie worker and your promotion in Ohio, you get hurt, so sad, too bad, it's on your insurance. But WWE sort of has that, sort of doesn't. TNA sort of doesn't. Is that the same for the UFC? If I'm competing in a UFC event and I shatter my orbital bone, am I paying it for my own, or is Dana White coughing up, or does Zuffa have insurance for their talent?
It's different because MMA is an actual sanctioned sport that is governed by athletic commissions the world over. Therefore, those events have to carry insurance on their fighters.
Mm.
I mean, you have to carry it at a wrestling event too, but it's different. It's a different type of insurance. So they actually have to, if Mace, who just recently got hurt real bad in the ring?
In the octagon?
Yeah.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah.
It was like a month ago. It was a really nasty fight, too.
Yeah, it was this last USC event we watched, wasn't it? The main event and two guys beat the living crap out of each other?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
But somebody got hurt really bad. And they cover UFC carries a health insurance, as far as I know, that would cover that.
Yeah, because I mean, like I said, I know one of our chat room residents just brought up when we had Jerry Lynn on the show a few months ago. Jerry had to pay for his medical bill for independent contractors here at the WWE, and but I'm still technically under a guaranteed contract. You're having me sign papers saying that I'm under contract, I'm working for you. You know, if I get a job working, when I got a job working at Walt Disney World back in the day, I was under insurance no matter where I worked under that umbrella. Tim Stein is telling me about the promoter thing. He says, for instance, when I took a promoter's license and was told I don't need one anymore because they no longer regulate wrestling. Now, that's in Canada. I know in certain U.S. states there exist commissions. I know in Kentucky, if you...
Oh, you have to carry a card.
You have to be a licensed wrestler or manager. And if you bleed in the ring the hard way or you do the gimmick... And the promoter, the state licensing people see it, your match has to end like that. If it goes on, congrats, you just had your entire show shut down.
Yeah, they, I've wrestled a couple of times in Kentucky, and there is a state representative at not every show that takes place on a given weekend, but the major promotions in the state of Kentucky, there is a state representative on hand at those shows.
Okay. Well, I mentioned him before. He is here. He is the guru of WTR and also promotes wrestling, has been involved in Stampede Wrestling in Canada for years. Tim Stein is joining us. Explain it to fans when you, as a promoter, What is your role if someone on your roster, let's say Spug and Mace are on your roster, they have a match. During a match, Spug gets injured. Is Spug responsible for all his medical bills, or are you as Tim Stein promoter stepping in?
Well, in Canada, it's a little bit different because of as far as medical bills and stuff like that goes. In Canada, we've got socialized health care and medical care. And so as a result, you need to go and get some stitches. They're not going to cost you anything. You need to get a bone set. It's not going to cost you anything.
But here in the U.S., have you had experience with being involved with promotions in the U.S. at all, Tim? Just from your experience with wrestling at all?
Not with American promotions at all, no. One thing that has occurred with Stampede Wrestling, there was an EMT from St. John's Ambulance standing by at the venues just in case. Right?
We have to carry an ambulance, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know from being at WWE events when I was an employee of the St. Pete Times Forum, there was always a medical team there, especially, I mean, be it at hockey when the Lightning had home games, the NCAA tournament that's going to go on this weekend there's always a medical team standing by, but it just, I mean, like I said, you are the older statesman. You've been doing wrestling a lot longer than I have in a media sense. Does it boggle your mind when you read something about Daphne getting injured and filing workers' comp and, oh, guess what? You're no longer a part of our promotion. I mean, does that just bother you that in this day and age that that's still the way it is?
Well, for something like that, as far as workman's compensation goes, this is the first time I've ever heard of somebody actually trying to file a claim working for a professional wrestling company. Generally, if you're contracted talent, you're not technically an employee of that company. You're contracted, right? And basically, it's up to you to cover most of the costs of anything that might happen.
Yeah, I mean, from what we've heard in certain instances, if you watch shoot interviews or the Cave Hit commentaries discs, certain talent has talked about, oh, I was, when I was injured, I was covered. Bret Hart in the Wrestling with Shadows DVD talked about when he broke his sternum wrestling Dino Bravo, and he said, oh, there were checks coming in from WWE, but they weren't even $100, $200 a week.
Well,
you know, compared to what they were making on the road.
Yeah, Alan, the thing about that is these wrestlers working for TNA and WWE, when they sign a contract, they negotiate different deals. Bret Hart had several contracts with WWF, and each contract he negotiated a downside. Now, getting injured with a broken sternum, that's your downside right there. You're not able to work. What you negotiated with your contract is what you get. So if Daphne had negotiated a downside with TNA on her contract, then she is entitled to some kind of remuneration or reimbursement for the amount of time she's out injured, not able to work. Now, if TNA has reneged on this this downside guarantee, then by rights, you know, she's got a case against TNA. You know, she was on week to week, like show to show. That is, that's something completely different. Like, okay, we're going to bring you in and pay you that much, but we're only bringing you in for this show and then this show and that show. And it's, considered one-off deals.
Yeah, which we just saw, Alyssa Flash is on, was under one right now. ODB possibly was under one of those as well. You know, Nikki Rocks is that way. I mean, I saw those kind of deals when I was covering TNA, and I just sit there going, so if you're not used, you're not paid. Okay. But this guy over here in the corner, he gets paid whether he shows up or not. I mean, go back to the days of WCW. Big Show talked about it, and his DVD, a lot of folks have talked about it as well, that Scott Hall and Kevin Nash had a deal where they were the two highest paid guys, and if anybody came into the company and made more than them, guess what? The two of them got bumped up to there. So, I mean, it's just, I guess it's right. If you have Barry Bloom as your lawyer, as Jesse Ventura used to say back in the day,
yeah,
you know, you're working your deal. I mean, go back in time, Tim may remember it, I vaguely do, of one of the reasons Hulk Hogan and Jesse Ventura never got along back in the day was because Jesse the Body tried to organize the WWE talent or WWF talent back in the day into a union situation, and Hogan ratted him out to Vince McMahon.
Well, that's because Hogan had a, that's because Hogan had a real sweetheart deal with Vince. He was Vince's golden boy, and Hogan was protecting nobody but himself. Unionizing the workers at that point in time would have, sure, it would have helped out guys like Jesse the Body and everybody else in the locker room, but it would have hurt, it would have hurt Hogan. Also known, Alan, as Terry Bollea.
Oh yeah, and he had a great run in the 90s in the U.S. court system.
Movie reference, name drop, I'm going to bed.
There you go. I just thought I'd name drop, seeing as it's OWW Radio.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, but that's a situation that just, you brought up Hogan. I'm curious too. Hogan had back surgery and has had all these kind of injuries. Are his bills getting paid by TNA because I'm Hulk Hogan, brother? Or, you know what I mean? Because that would be something that Daphne uses and going, well, you're paying Hogan, who's not even competing in the ring.
Well, okay.
The ring.
Okay, you brought up Bret Hart, and I'm gonna go with this. I just finished reading Bret's book, and no, Spug, I'm not talking Bret Hart because he's Canadian. It's just because I know it's fresher in my head. Initially, Bret was negotiating his own contracts with everybody. When he went to Japan, when he was working for his dad, he negotiated a deal with his dad, believe it or not, he had to. When he went to the WWF, it was up to him to negotiate his contract. He got a hold of an agent, and all of a sudden his negotiations were a lot more favorable for him. But at that point in time, he became a bigger he was a bigger name by that time.
Yeah, right? And that's the thing now. That's the thing that, you know, I mentioned the name Barry Bloom. He was an agent that you go back to, I know from certain WCW stars I've spoken to that they had the same thing. I believe it was Barry Windham that talked about it on the Horseman DVD or one of the WCW DVDs that when Bill Watts came in, he's like, you know, I've got these guys that have these guaranteed deals and they have creative control and they, you know, many people say that was the downfall of WCW, which we'll get into next week when we have Scott Hudson and Buff Bagwell on, but there's someone also you can bring up. Buff was injured on duty with his neck. You know, Scott Steiner had health issues. You look at some of these companies, it just scares me to death that these guys are busting their humps. Look at Aaron Drozdov, who's sitting in a chair, injured, can't go.
Yeah, Droz is being taken care of by WWE because it happened in a WWE ring where he broke his neck. Vince is, you know, like, we have all said stuff about Vince that isn't very complimentary. Fact of the matter is, you know, when something like that happens, Vince will step up. He did step up. Droz actually works in Titan Towers. He's got a job. I mean, take a look at Vicky Guerrero. After Eddie died, she needed a way to feed her family. Vince gave her a job. I mean, he's not a heartless POS. In a situation like that, he's going to do what he can to help out. But at the same time, most of these guys with the bigger promotions all have personal insurance. Like I say, it's totally different in the United States because you guys can't wrap your brain around the benefits of socialized health care.
No, no. We can wrap our heads around the benefits of it. There's too much money to be made in non-socialized health care.
Well, there's still a lot of money to be made in socialized healthcare because you still got to pay for your prescriptions and stuff like that.
Let's not get into it.
You know, the doctors and the nurses and all of them, they still get paid a really good coin. You know, they still get paid really, really, really good.
Let's not get into it.
Moving on. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we go to break, we mentioned in a few minutes we're going to talk. We have a pre-tape interview with Steve Corino. We apologize. It's pre-tape. But he had some stuff he had to do, so we pre-taped, but it's a lot of fun. You will love every minute of it. The tragedy that happened in Japan, TJ Omega, who is the be-all end-all of this network, has got so much stuff going on that I'm amazed the guy has time to breathe. He has set up with a few of his contacts through the gaming world and the Transformers world, a benefit. So, Mace, you have the information. If you could please go ahead and give that to the fans.
Yeah, this is a charity, donation drive set up by CS Toys International, sponsor of TJ Omega's little YouTube channel. They send him lots of toys and stuff like that. Very, very well-trusted guy within the community. So, you know, every dollar that you get is going straight to the people of Japan. The site to go to is superherotime.chipin.com. And there's a little widget on the side that you just click to chip in and send them a donation.
It's just that easy. And hopefully... as mentioned, had some friends who were over there. Steve was one of them. Very happy that he's back. MVP, Montel and Tavius Porter was over there working for New Japan. He's come back to surface and say he's okay. Former WWE star Sean Spears also finally got back on Twitter. And it's amazing how well social networking came in handy during this tragedy where people were tweeting from the ground and using Skype and using Facebook. So anytime anybody wants to crap on it, it may save your life someday. We're going to take a time out here and we will come back with our interview with the King of Old School and new OWW Radio baseball analyst, Steve Corino. Following Steve, we will get into everything with WWE. And we'll let the hounds loose. We'll let Spug loose on his favorite email friend. Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be right back.
Think for yourself, my man. You'll never be what is in your heart. Weep, little lion man, you're not as brave as you were at the start. Rate yourself and rape yourself, take all the courage you have left. Wasted on fixing.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Berry.
Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And Samora.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talkie Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
WW Radio.
She had me going crazy.
Alan Wojcik.
She woke me up daily.
OWW Radio.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio. We're to the Wild Talk Radio Network. We teased it earlier, but he is here. He survived Japan in more ways than one. And as we said in the opening, we're very saddened to hear about all the stuff. And we'll again repeat the stuff that Omega from WTR and Otaku Talk Live, he has a charity thing going on. We'll repeat all that info and we'll put in our press release. fresh from his tour of 0-1 and getting ready already to soon leave to go to Australia. He gets a new title. He is also known as the King of Old School, the King of Kings, the effing God of Wrestling, and now OWW Radio Baseball Analyst. No, we didn't get Peter Gammons. We got someone better. We got Steve Carino. Good evening and welcome, sir.
Good evening. How are you guys doing?
We're breathing a lot easier knowing that you're here. Take us through your emotions real quick on when you heard all about this. Did you do a holy crap, I'm glad I wasn't there for this, or were you thinking the opposite?
You know what? I was, my first reaction, I started getting text messages and calls at 4:30 in the morning on Friday, and I was wondering, I'm laying in bed, who the hell is texting me, and calling me this early, it's got to be important, so I look at my phone, and I had, four missed calls, I had 10 texts from people that were saying, hey, where are you? Are you home? Turn on the news, and then, So I clicked on the news real quick, and there it was the news was breaking about the big earthquake, and then it was just reaction time of going to call people that are my friends over there and colleagues it was scary not hearing from people for a couple hours because of power being out and cell signals and stuff like that, but it was a very scary time, but everybody was accounted for, which was, luckily. It's, such a sad situation over there that, I can't even imagine, every time I turn on the news, there's something else happening, and these are all places that I've been to, and been to dozens of times, not like just visited once, where you're talking about Sendai, I've been to Sendai dozens of times, and Fukushima where the power plant is. It's just a scary, scary, natural disaster, and I'm glad I'm home for, selfish reasons, but I'm also glad that, all my friends and colleagues are okay.
And we found out MVP's okay, Sean Spears is okay. They checked in through Twitter, so we were breathing. I know Dragon Gate had a tour over there, too, with Rich Swann and some others. Take us through that country. Is it as you see it is on TV? Is it as jam-packed as New York City, or is it even tighter packed because it's...
I would say it's even tighter packed because you got to remember, in New York City, everything's so big. Where in, Tokyo or, even some of the smaller cities, you're talking, you're packing a million people in such a small center of the city. So, there's really no room for error. And luckily, the Japanese are so smart when it comes to, preparing for these earthquakes. But who can prepare for, a 9.0? And I just think of, wow, what if this happened in a different country where, the structure and the technology and stuff like that wasn't, up to where the Japanese have it. They would have caused, hundreds of thousands of deaths, just like it did in 2004 in Indonesia and stuff like that. And, they're saying now maybe 10,000 deaths, and it's hard to say that, but hard to say, wow, it could have been so much more, but man, what a scary, scary thing.
Now, we've seen natural disasters in the United States and other countries where man just bends over fellow man and takes him for everything he has, looting, charging $20 for a bottle of water, but not a single report has come out of Japan about that. And you've been there more than anybody else that's on the airwaves right now. Is it just the way those people are? I mean, are they more, solidly unified, or does that thought just never cross their mind?
I don't know if this thought ever crossed their mind. They grow up in a very honorable society, but it's like anything. You have your, you have your crime. It's not like they have a 0% crime rate, but they're not like opportunistic people like, as it says Americans are. You look at what happened during Hurricane Katrina and any natural disaster in other countries to where somebody says, wow, you know, people are in danger. All right, gas is now $25 a gallon. And instead of helping, it looks like the Japanese people, and it's so nice to see, you know, how much the Americans are actually, you know, want to help and, you know, other countries want to help and stuff like that. So it might have been such a natural disaster that, you know, people are putting away the capitalistic feelings for, you know, some sympathy.
Unless you go with Gottfried and you get fired from your job as the Aflac duck. And it was like, couldn't you just keep your mouth shut for a couple minutes, dude?
Well, he was the first one to do 9/11 jokes right after 9/11.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know everybody, we were joking around on, there were a couple jokes possibly going to go on Russell Talk Radio about Godzilla and everything, but we kept it tame.
Yeah, you know what, like, I'm a huge joke guy, and, like, you know what's sensitive and what's not. The whole Gilbert Godfrey thing is so blown out of proportion. The guy's making jokes, and the people are going to find a time to make jokes and stuff like that, and they always say that, like, laughter is the best medicine. Like, Gilbert Godfrey, was his jokes, like, totally, you know, insensitive? Yeah, absolutely, but that's, you know, that's his style, you know? And I think people are taking it a little too serious. If you don't want to hear his jokes, don't pay attention to them, you know, and grieve and stuff like that. You know, it's the 9/11 jokes I heard, you know, within like 2 or 3 days of 9/11. And, you know, it's just people deal with grief in different ways. Who knows, you know, Gilbert Godfrey may have friends and family over there, and this is his way of dealing with it. So, like, I'm not as big of like a, you know, as a hater right now on Gilbert Godfrey as other people.
I thought the only one that I thought was really inappropriate was the one about waiting for a new date to float by. That's the only one I thought was really inappropriate. The one he cracked about the Japanese people are so advanced that they don't go to the beach, they wait for it to come to them. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, laughter is the best medicine. So, you know, in his mind, he might be, like, trying to be like, all right, it happened, you know, let's deal with it. Let's deal with it in our own way. And of course, not everybody's going to like every joke, you know what I mean? So, I think we need to relax, you know, remember what's important, but also, you know, we also need to relax and go, sometimes you need to laugh and, you know, maybe now's not the time, but, you know, eventually you'll go, okay, I get it, you know. I remember when I was a kid, and I'm dating myself here, and the space shuttle blew up. I can't tell you, I think it was in seventh grade, I can't tell you how quickly the NASA need another seven astronauts joke came. And even in the seventh grade, you were totally shocked. But, like, afterwards you think, it's not that it was funny, it was that, wow, somebody actually thought of it. So, I think we all need to relax a little.
Well, we can relax. We got Mace, unfortunately, is not a baseball person, being he's in Australia, but we'll talk Australia in a few minutes. But Sir Rockin, our producer, is a Philadelphia resident, and during his off season, he wouldn't shut up about how the trophy's already on its way to Philadelphia. Can you dispute this, or is there any chink in the Philadelphia Phillies' armor this year?
Oh, well, the trophy is already on its way to Philadelphia. I mean, that goes without saying. I was just telling somebody today that with all the injuries that are happening, with Polanco down and Utley down and now Brad Lynch got tendonitis in his elbow, I have to go against my prediction with the Phillies. I think they're only going to win 125 games this year.
Only 125?
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I'd say that, like, you know, Utley's out for half a year. I mean, if he comes back in midseason, they're looking at 140.
On the other side of that, you have my wretched Cleveland Indians, who in their starting rotation do not have a left-hander.
No.
Their rotation is comprised of entirely right-handed pitchers. So if the Phillies are going to win 140, if Chase Utley comes back at the All-Star break, how many are the Indians going to lose?
Oh, the Indians look bad, but they're lucky. Like, you know, Kansas City's in their division. That pitcher division's always, not that it's like weak, but it's not strong. I mean, they can survive. I think I had them at like 72 wins. I don't think they're going to have an awful year. I mean, 72-75 wins. But you know, they're a young team too. They're gonna be okay. People laugh at me all the time when I say the Kansas City Royals aren't going to be the team to beat in 5 years.
So, is Travis Hafner done? Should we get rid of him and put him out of his misery?
Send him to Tampa.
I like Hafner. I think he's gonna have to come back here.
I mean, you got Grady Sizemore coming off a microfracture surgery, and Hafner hasn't hit the broadside of a barn since 2007. So, I mean,
does Hafner have a no trade?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I could definitely see if he doesn't have any restrictions on a trade, I definitely see him going to a contender at the All-Star break. You know, Cleveland getting two or three, good prospects and stuff like that. And Cleveland's going to be a team to watch. They're on a rebuilding.
But what's a value in a guy like Hafner who hasn't hit well, honestly, since 2007, and for the better part of two seasons has been off the DL and on the DL for shoulder problems, and he's completely reinvented his swing for the worse, not the better.
Right, yeah, he's definitely got to step it up. And you know what, it may be a change of scenery. You know, you get a guy is looking at Robinson Cano. You know, he's a guy that really, reinvented himself for when he first started. Now he's, hitting home runs and doing this and doing that. And, maybe he needs a change of scenery to where, he goes to a team, that has a young batting coach or something like that, that's, more in touch with what he's trying to do.
Yeah, speaking
Grady
of teams,
I like Grady Sizemore. If he's healthy, he's gonna have a big year.
Yeah, speaking of teams that went through transition, let me just jump in for a second. Being a Tampa resident and hating the franchise because I'm still a born and raised Yankee fan, the exodus out of Tampa this year was amazing. I think there's a couple ball boys that are in the starting rotation. Were you surprised to see people like Crawford get out and Garza be traded? It's just a fire sale of craziness this year. And Longoria seems to be the only mainstay. He's going to be like the Wade Boggs of the team, so to speak. He's going to stay there forever.
Oh, absolutely. And it's economics. It's the same with, the Marlins. You have, economics are going to dictate that these guys are going to pick up and leave, when they hit free agency because that's where the money is. It's a shame that Tampa Bay couldn't deal Crawford last year and get, something out of it. But, Longoria is going to be the only person that they can keep that'll be like the face of the franchise until they get enough money. But you got to remember, like, the people in Tampa don't really support, same with South Florida. They don't support baseball like a New York Yankees or a Boston Red Sox or the Phillies or the Cubs. They play small market baseball, but you know what? They always end up tough, but that AL East is so tough this year. Baltimore is very improved. Toronto is going to be tough. Boston is just, total stud. I mean, if they get lucky and J.D. Drew dies in a plane accident, a plane crash, or maybe even a really good car crash, there is no stopping the Red Sox going to the World Series. And then you got the Yankees. They're amazingly tough.
Yeah, considering we're still trying to find a fifth starting pitcher, every time it's fun to put spring training on here on MLB Network and going, okay, it's almost like being on the dating game. All right, bachelor number two, here you are. It's like, is this the guy? Do you think Jabba should still be in the pen, or do you think Jabba's ready to be a starter?
I think Jabba's overrated. I think Jabba, he had that flash in the pan, and he's going to be a career sixth and seventh inning pitcher. I mean, if you look at it, he's not even the heir apparent for Mariano Rivera. Jobber. Yeah, I can see him definitely somewhere else. Maybe not this year, but next year. But I definitely don't think he's going to be one of those guys that's like a Yankee for life.
Yeah, we got a couple more baseball questions we want to get in here. We first want to ask about someone who we hope doesn't become a flash in the pan. Do you think, there used to be the Jabba rules for Chamberlain. Do you think there'll be Strasburg rules with the Washington Nationals this year, or do you think they're going to turn him loose again?
Oh, man, he's got a little bit longer to go. Strasburg's stud. I mean, I just think they pushed him too much. I don't know if they pushed him as much as he pushed himself, and you know, he tried a little bit too much. I mean, you have a debut, and you have 14 strikeouts in your debut, and granted, it was against Pittsburgh Pirates, who, you know, I could strike out 8 of the Pirates. But, you know, you're still talking about, you know, a young kid that got rushed up the minor league system, and now he's got the surgery. Hopefully he comes back a little different of a pitcher, and he's ready for the challenge. The guy I like is that Bryce Harper, though. I mean, you know, how old is he, 18, maybe 19 now? And you know what? If the Nationals are out of it by July or August, they're going to call that kid up. And, you know, you have Strasburg coming back, Harper coming back. The Nationals will be a little exciting to watch. But Strasburg, the hype, you know, it's the old Public Enemy, you don't believe the hype. And he got hurt quick, and, yeah, he could be a flash in the pan before we know it.
Steve Corino joining us here on All In World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. We have a Philadelphia Phillies fan. No, it's not Sir Rockin. She's one of our resident favorites on the show. It's Jersey Girl. What's happening, sweetie?
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Very good. You got OWW Baseball radio analyst Steve Corino on the line with you.
Hey, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. My question is, with Dominic Brown now out due to his hand, did you think that they brought him up a little bit too quickly since they got rid of Jason Worth and he went to the Nationals?
No, and you know what? I don't know if Dominic Brown has ever been in the plans for 2011. Everything I've read with Charlie Manuel and Ruben Amaro say, you know, he has to make the team, and they were going to give Ben Francisco and John Mayberry Jr. every chance to be the, you know, starting right fielder for the Phillies. I think Dominic Brown will be a starter in 2012, but in left field. Baez is going to, you know, his contract ends at the end of the year. You know, he's going to be 39 years old, maybe almost 40 years old. And unless he hits 40 home runs, there is no way the Phillies are going to re-sign him. And Dominic Brown's going to walk into that left field spot. I think Dominic Brown's going to be sent to Lehigh Valley AAA and have a really good year, get a September call-up. Depending on how far the Phillies are in front, it'll be dependent on how much time he'll play. But I like that they kept him on the roster last year so he could get used to the major league way of dealing with things and dealing with the press. And, you know, he was paying his dues, and Charlie Manuel's a big, big believer in, just because you got the hype doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to throw you in right away. And he got to learn with Ibanez and Worth and Victorino. So it's you know, a lot of fun to see how this kid's going to grow.
And the other question I asked, because yesterday I saw on the news that Brad Lidge got hurt and he's going to be not starting. Do you think Ryan Madsen can step up and be the closer?
I'm not a huge Madsen fan. You know who I am a fan of, though, is Jose Contreras. I think Madsen is going to be either great eighth inning guy, maybe even if you need the two innings, you can depend on him for the seventh and eighth. But Jose Contreras is, you know, he's a gamer. He wants to go out there and get the ball, you know, 162 games a year. I think if Lynch can't go, watch for Contreras to get the ball in some safe situations. And, you know, I'd like to see somebody be brought up from the minor leagues. Worley. You know, they have an idea of him starting, but I could definitely see him being a closer for the Phillies. You know, he's got a good arm. He's the, you know, the seventh man in a five-man rotation. But, you know, I think they'll probably go with Matt.
Okay. Thanks, there Steve. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jersey.
Bye.
Being that you're so close to New York, this offseason got real tumultuous with the Mets ownership and them putting everything with Bernie Madoff and the 25% of the ownership thing is there. How soon do you think before the Major League Baseball just steps in and goes, okay, where's the money you owe us, as opposed to trying to get people to buy a 25% that they're never really going to have any control of, it seems like?
Oh, absolutely, and that's the thing that's not in the news enough, is that, you know, the Mets organization owes Major League Baseball, what is it, $40 million or something like that?
I think it's
and yeah, and like they're already past due on the note, and you know there is more to meet the eye with this whole scandal and everything like that. I definitely see the Mets going up for sale, and they have to, and somebody's going to have to come in and save that franchise. Even in the New York papers, they're burying the Mets, and I love to bury the Mets, you know, because they're in my division. I always think that they're cocky, and I hate David Wright. Even though if he played for the Phillies, I would love him. yeah, like, you know, they come off cocky and stuff like that, and they're kind of, you know, they're our rivals, but... you know, for the sake of baseball, you know, I want that National League East to be, I'd love the Phillies to run off, you know, run away with it by 20 games, but the reality is I also want, you know, September to be real exciting, and with the turmoil and stuff like that, the players gotta know, you know, it's like being part of a company that you know is going down, and you're like, man, you're giving it your all, but you're also stressed out about, man, are we gonna have a job the next day? It's going to be the same thing with these guys. You know, it's like, wow, you know, we're busting our butts out there to play as good baseball as we can, but, you know, the outside stuff is taking over, and it's going to affect their play.
I just want to ask you real quick, Steve. Do you hate David Wright enough to hate his face?
Oh, I hate his face. I mean, he's not on my list like J.D. Drew or that piece of garbage Chipper Jones. But David Wright's just one of those guys. He's like Pedro Martinez. I absolutely hated Pedro Martinez until the day he signed with the Phillies, and I will now forever be a Pedro Martinez fan. If I saw David Wright playing third base for the Phillies, I would go out and buy a shirt right away.
Now, the Giants won the World Series last year on the strength of their rotation and the closer. And that, I don't think I've met anybody more insane than Brian Wilson.
Oh, no doubt. He's a great insane, too. He's not like a Charlie Sheen insane. He is just, like, awesomely insane. And, like, he's a guy that knows what he wants to do. He's got the intimidation factor. I am a huge Brian Wilson fan. And that San Francisco Giants team, you know, they won at the right time. They play it hard. That rotation is absolutely amazing. I mean, the Phillies have the big name four, but, you know, the Giants have a really, really awesome rotation, and it's, you know, the Phillies Giants are 1-2 when it comes to rotations. The Giants are going to be in the mix again this year.
We always hear about how hard it is to repeat, especially with a 162-game schedule, and then you have the playoffs that don't end until December, it seems. How hard is it going to be? I mean, even if the National League West is probably the worst division in all of baseball.
Oh, absolutely.
How hard is it going to be for the San Francisco Giants, maybe not to repeat, but to represent at least the National League in the World Series this year?
Well, you know what? They have to have everything come together again. I mean, you saw, you know, as good as they were down the stretch, it was as bad as the Padres were. And, you know, the Padres literally, you know, gave them the National League West. And it was a shame because, you know, what was it, August? They were 10 games up. You know, the Giants really came together to play like a team. Cody Ross, you know, as much as he peed me off by, you know, destroying the Phillies, you know, he came together at the right time. But this year, I think they're going to be good. Kung Fu Panda came in, you know, 40 pounds lighter. Aaron Rowan's, he's healthy, fighting for that spot. I definitely think you're going to see Barry Zito get waived. But there's so many, like, cool factors to the Giants that they're going to be right in the mix. But, you know, I had them, I think, playing Cincinnati in the first round of the playoffs this year in my analyzation of what the year was going to be. And I definitely think that the Reds are going to be a hard team to beat, but, you know, the Giants are going to be right there. I mean, they're such a good team.
Now, we have a Cubs fan on our network. Yes, TJ Omega. Omega is a gigantic Cubs fan.
We're sorry for
him. I pity him. I was a big Cubs fan as a kid because of Ryan Sandberg, but, yeah, poor Cubs.
Are they ever going to make it out of mediocrity? I mean, no. we saw a couple of years ago they were this close. And I'm not talking about the – oh, my God, I forgot his name.
Bartman.
I'm not talking about the Bartman incident, but a couple of years ago when Lou Piniella came in, they were barn burners, and they were right on the doorstep of making it to the World Series and possibly winning it. you know, and then it just all fell apart. Was it partially Lou Piniella? You know, was his management style, you know, not the right fit for that, or is that team just bad?
You know what? Jesus Christ could manage that team, and they'll find a way to lose. It's just, I don't know. Like, you're talking about a team that hasn't won a World Series in 104 years, and they haven't on 102 years, and they haven't even been to the World Series since 45. I mean, the Marlins have been in the league since 93 with a shoestring budget, and have not only been in the World Series twice, but have won it twice. There is just something in the air when it comes to the Cubs. And, you know, I grew up on WGN, and, like, I was a Phillies and Cubs fan, and I lived and died with the 84 Cubs and the 89 Cubs and Sandberg and Grace and Dunston and you know, Keith Moreland and all those guys. But they would just find a way to choke at the end, and it gets frustrating, and it doesn't get better. And they're not going to get better until, you know, they find what's going to be, you know, the key to victory. Piniella wasn't he wasn't the key. You know, this new guy isn't the key. They totally screwed up by not promoting Sandberg. Whether he was ready or not was, you know, it's insignificant. He was the guy that the Cubs needed to be, you know, the new Mr. Cub. And, yeah, they totally screwed up, and they'll sell out, and they'll do great with numbers and stuff like that, but they're definitely the lovable losers.
Steve Carino right. Joining us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. I gotta ask this since you brought up the Cubs. He's been on this show before. We know you hate his face because he just who he is. Thoughts on the brand new NWA World Heavyweight Champion Colt Cabana?
Oh, Colt Cabana. You know, I used to hate his face, but now I'm trying to, you know, recover and do good for you know, for wrestling and mankind and myself. Yeah, Colt Cabana, you know, the one thing I can never take away from Colt Cabana is that he is an amazing, amazing wrestler. He's just one of those guys that, you know, as a fan of wrestling, I love him. You know, he's just, a guy that I like enjoy watching. He can do anything. He can wrestle, regular American style, British style. He's been to Japan with me twice. You know, he adapted the Japanese style. He can do comedy. He can do hardcore. I mean, he's a guy that, like, I really, really enjoy. And, you know, and people will probably take this wrong, but I always equate Colt Cabana to be, like, the new 2011 Dusty Rhodes. A guy that can go out there, whether it's 20 people, 200 people, 2,000 people, 20,000 people, and he can entertain. And not only can he entertain, he can get the most out of the least with the guy he's wrestling. He could be wrestling Davey Richards one night, Kevin Steen the next night, Steve Carino the next night, and a one-legged pirate the fourth night, and he can make everybody look good. So I was very happy to see Colt Cabana became the NWA World Champion.
Both Mace and I have reviewed a recent DVD that came out called Timeline History of ECW, and the year was started with 1997 in Sabu. If Kayfabe Commentaries approached Steve Carino and said, we would like you to talk about a specific year that you were a part of, would you accept their offer, or do you think, do you still not understand this interest in ECW all these years later?
I know, it's so crazy for me. And, you know, maybe it's just because I wasn't a huge ECW fan before I got to ECW, and I always looked at it as it's an awesome place to work. I had so much fun. I learned so much. You know, it was the company that, you know, made me. And, but, like, the whole nostalgia and everything like that, it's mind blowing to me because, you know, we were only around for, what was it, 7 years or, yeah, a little over 7 years. Like, you know, Ring of Honor just celebrated 9 years. CZW's been around for, like, 10 or 11. And, you know, it's crazy to think that this little company that could, you know, this alternative is still on everybody's minds. And, you know, maybe it's the Beatles thing, like, you know, the Beatles were so big in 64, and then they broke up in 70, and you just maybe wondered, what if, and, yeah, to me, it's like, it's crazy. I don't know if I would do it. I know, you know what, because, like, what do they do, like, the guest booker, is that what they do?
They're doing... right now they just did a timeline where they basically go from January to December with certain... They bring up certain parts, like with Sabu they brought up the Terry Funk roast in 97, and then they brought up him and Terry and the Born to Be Wired thing. So that's what they do. They bring up certain situations. Like, they would probably bring up you and Kareem, you and Dusty, or maybe you and Fred Durst, or things like that. I mean, it's different than what you see from RF or any of the other companies.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would. It was a fun time. It's fun to look back on and go, wow, you know. I think it's just because I never wanted to live in the past, which is crazy considering, you know, I'm the king of old school, and, you know, I've done all this stuff, and I talk about the old school, and I love old school wrestling. But when it comes to me, I think, you know, I don't look at the significance of, like, what I did. ECW was a brand, and, you know, I had this conversation, and they'll probably kill me when it comes time for renegotiating and trying to get a raise, but I always tell, you know, Kerry from ROH, I'm like, ROH is the brand. People want to see Ring of Honor, and, you know, they have great wrestlers in there, and great wrestlers have come and gone and gone to bigger and better things, but ECW was a brand. It was, you know, it wasn't just about Van Damme, Sabu, Lance Storm, Jerry Lynch, that's incredible. It was, man, let me come see the whole show and be part of this whole show. And maybe one of the factors why it was so popular, you know, in that underground alternative style was the fans were part of it as much as the wrestlers were. I mean, we were the guys bleeding and taking the bumps and taking stupid chair shots to the head that we shouldn't have been taking. And, you know, 10 years later, I would say no to... you know, hindsight being 2020, if I went back in time, I'd say no. But you know what? They were part of the, you know, they brought the energy out. They came, you know, they didn't sit on their hands. They knew who everybody was, what everybody was. They were the ones that, like, you know, a guy would come in and audition or like try out, but it was an audition for the fans. I mean, if they crapped on you right away, Paul was like, nah, all right, let's pass on him. But if they were a little bit warm, Paul would be like, oh, you know what? I can find something for this guy. And, it was the land of misfit toys where guys that didn't belong in other companies could come and, you know, draw a little bit of money. I mean, we drew big houses. Granted, you know, they went out of business, but it wasn't because we weren't drawing. We were, you know, we were doing our job. But, you know, factors being what they were, like, you know, it was, but look at the guys that couldn't draw everywhere else. Or, in my case, you know, Vince McMahon never looked at me as a guy that could draw money and stuff like that. So, you know, it was cool, like what Paul Heyman saw, Vince McMahon didn't see, or Bischoff thought he saw, but it wouldn't work. I love youth, you know, and, you know, God rest their soul. Public Enemy couldn't, you know, they were awesome in ECW, most over tag team I've ever seen, and you put them in WCW with a different booker, and these guys just look like two slow guys with, you know, shorts and hockey shirts on. It was a shame. You know, Paul, you know, he could find the best of, you know, a certain wrestler and exploit it. And, you know, Jim Cornette's the same way. And it's Vince McMahon can do it too. It's rare when you can get those guys that, you know, especially in today's world, that can get, you know, they can really exploit the strength of a certain wrestler, make him draw money for it, and hide the weaknesses.
Go ahead, Spug. You wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, I could say that. I thought somebody hung up on me for a second. I was on a roll.
No, we're here. I had muted my microphone.
I thought everybody fell asleep.
No, ooh, dude, I'm here. You are one of those interviews that we love to do because we can give you a 3-second question and you can give us a 40-minute answer, and the answer is riveting.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
That's the
You're
God's
better than Jerry
truth.
Lawler. You're better than Jerry Lawler. He was a 20-minute jerk to us.
Really? I didn't think you, like, Lawler could talk.
I think a 21-year-old girl had a thing to do with
had his attention.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see his son get a negative pop on TV?
You know
what a negative pop is, right? A negative pop. People were like, who the piss is this guy? Man, imagine if I showed up on TV. At least, you know, at least Christopher was on TV for a while. I show up, people would be like, wow, who's that guy? Looks like CM Punk's dad.
Ooh, that's rude.
So you did actually watch more of Raw this week besides The Rock?
No, you know, no, not really. You know, every once in a while I get a text like, hey, turn this on. That little looking girl's not on. Yeah, she's awful, isn't she? Yeah.
I think like 2-year-old's her height.
He was resurrected last night and then died again of a wrestling heart attack when he saw that Jersey Shore girl did a Luthez press. Holy crap.
I want to ask you about the 700-pound gorilla sitting in the room.
Uh-oh.
And the situation with Jeff, the unfortunate situation with Jeff Hardy in the back, and what happened at the pay-per-view on Sunday night. If as an individual who has spent quite a bit of time in the back, if you saw Jeff Hardy stumbling from the back of the arena towards that gorilla position, would you even have let him go out there in the ring? Let alone.
Oh, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. The first rule of professional wrestling is safety. And you know what? I've known Jeff, like, you know, we all broke in around the same time. And, you know, Jeff is a nice guy, but, like, I haven't seen him in the years since, you know, he's had the problems and stuff like that. But, you know, I got messages, you know, I did my little investigating. And I had, like, a couple, like, people that know Jeff that were trying to tell me it was a work, and he was working. He was working with people. And then other guys that, like, were there were like, wow, we've never seen him this messed up. It's just a shame because, you know, the guy has a good heart. He's a nice guy. And, you know, I hate to see somebody, like, ruin their life, not just ruin their career, but ruin their life. I hope that, you know, if he is, you know, you know, if he was that messed up and stuff like that, that, you know, he gets help, you know, before it's too late. You know, if you want him to be another statistic and, you know, and end up like, you know, how many guys that we've lost over the years over, you know, stupid drugs. And, but, you know, I think if I was in charge and I, you know, for the life of me, I don't know who calls the final shot. If that was in my situation and, you know, knowing what we know and seeing what we've seen and stuff like that, there is no way in blue hell I'm letting him kill that money cow that I call Sting, who I'm probably paying so much money to that, you know, this guy could, you know, what if Sting would have just said, you know what, I'm not doing it, I'm not going out. You would have had no main event as opposed to a minute 28.
So you believe Sting did the right thing?
I had to go back a couple times and watch the footage over. Go ahead, Mace.
Yeah, I watched the footage on YouTube. Yeah. I didn't pay for
Mace,
it, sorry.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Do you believe Sting did the right thing in how he acted in the ring?
Yeah, get it over with before he got hurt. Yeah, and I like it. And it's funny, and like, I'll joke about it now. Guess who is in the ring? Freaking Hebner again is in the ring screwing up with somebody, right? Nothing? Alright. No. Well, it's like a Montreal screw job, but you know, I saw Hebner and I went, that's awesome. Like, now the kid gets to, you know, shoot on somebody.
Well, we were talking about this last night. Let's play devil's advocate with the situation for a moment. Had nobody stopped it or nobody noticed how messed up Jeff Hardy was, which when you look at the footage, it's kind of hard not to, but...
Yeah, it stumbled in the ring.
Right, but had nobody noticed and he gone out there and worked a match and legitimately hurt Sting in a way that would have ended his career, what kind of heat is TNA getting right now? Are they even still in business?
I think they're in business because, you know, somehow they have this gravy train of money that I will never get a paycheck from, but, which I wish, you know, somebody pay me for this. But, huh?
So do we. We want money from Dixie, too. We want money from having to have to watch the show.
Yeah, see, I don't watch it either. Yeah. I always get told I'm too negative. I'm like the most positive person I know. I watch all sorts of crap. but, you know, it. Yeah, like, someone has to. If I was booking and I was in charge, she should be. There's no way to let Jeff Hardy out there. I would have thrown Samoa Joe out there and let them. There would have been a thing. Joe would have turned heel. I don't know if he's a heel already. But, you know, Joe would have been my go-to guy. I would have been like, all right, Joe, let's do a pre-tape. You're beating up some, you know, guy in the back, and now it's happening to be Jeff Hardy. Now go up there and save this pay-per-view with Sting. You know, like, I like Joe and Sting, you know, I think, you know, and I think Joe should be a top-of-the-card guy, but, you know, and what they did was, once again, but they knew it going in there, you know? It's not like he just developed this problem.
Now, would you have had Joe come out and drag to sell it more?
Perhaps. Oh, yeah, you had to bring that up, then, yeah.
Joe, not transvestite Joe.
Yeah. That story is still getting praise on this network even today.
You know, I tell that story everywhere. This girl did look like, you know, did look like Samoa Joe and Heels.
Yeah, it's our standard bearer.
There's two good looking Samoa Joes out there.
Yeah, when we tell people we want to do the best rib or the best road story, we always preface it. Now, remember, you're trying to top Steve Corino in a Samoa Joe lookalike in Thailand or Japan or wherever.
Oh, it was Japan, yeah. But she
and
was,
Nobody's come, some people have come close, but some people are just going like, I'm not going near there.
Animal came close last week.
Oh, yeah, Road Warrior Animal was really, we had Road Warrior Animal, Joe Laurinaitis on last week.
And I can imagine.
Really good stories.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. I mean, that guy, he walked like, you know, he probably like a rock star. I once saw, no crap, I once saw Road Warrior Hawk right before he died come into a nightclub in Roppongi, and I always love how people are like, yeah, man, he like got his life together before he died. Boo! Man, he came in soft to the gill. And I, like, it was like one of the first times I ever met him, and I was pretty lit at the time, too. And I go, like, this is my first reaction. I go, what a rush. Yeah, brother. And I bet you, like, he put away, like, three shots, like, it was, like, nothing. I'm like, wow, this guy knows how to party. And then he dies. You know, I would have loved to party with him a couple times.
Who was the, all right, because we talked about Jeff Hardy, now I got to ask, who was the best person you ever partied with?
Mark Coleman from USC and Pride. Oh, no doubt. Man, that guy could. There was no stopping that guy. Woo! Man, he was good. You know who? Like when it comes to pro wrestling, one of the best people I ever partied with, Amazing Kong.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness, yeah. Kong, she can party, and like she is one of the funniest people I ever met. But like, she's also one of those people like don't mess with her in a bar either because you know she'll kill you. Oh my goodness, I miss partying with her in Japan.
Well, I've gotten word not only through Alan but through a couple.
Well, he's from Australia.
You're coming down to my neck of the woods.
Where are you from? I know you're from Australia, but
the south side.
Say it again.
He's from the south central. I don't know.
South Central Australia.
I'm from Victoria, so.
What?
Aren't you in Melbourne?
Oh, Melbourne. Melbourne's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Melbourne. I'll be in Adelaide and Perth.
Okay, so.
Perth is the only place I've ever been to where, like, you go to the beach and it's like, you have a, like, you park your car, but then you have a warning sign that says, be careful of snakes. And then you go, you know, 5 or 10 meters, 15, 20 feet forward, and you say, be careful of sharks. Oh my God, like, what the hell's going to come next? Alligators? I mean, yeah, it's the only place I've ever seen two warnings, snakes and sharks. I mean, all you need is mice, rats, and onions. And, like, you have my five biggest fears in life.
Well, we do have some pretty big rats. We also have very dangerous spiders as well that you should be on.
Yeah, no, I don't mind spiders. Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, Sid Vicious on tonight, right?
Yes.
Sid was on at 9 o'clock.
I missed him.
Yeah.
I missed him. Sid dropped me on my head on a powerbomb in 1999 in ECW. And sneaking around on YouTube right now. Thanks a lot, Sid. But I would love Sid on my softball team.
Who would?
I don't know. Like, yeah, like, what is he, like 50 years old? And he can still play? Oh, man.
Yeah, we got one more. We got a couple more baseball-related questions before I let you go. Go ahead, Spug. I know you've been wanting to ask this one.
I have. So we know you're a big fan of MLB The Show, and they have the contest of if you can pitch a perfect game, you have a chance to win $1 million. And Steve at Richmond.
2K11.
Is it 2K11?
Yeah, 2K11 has the contest.
Okay.
Go ahead, though.
But Stevie Richards has come out and said that he's going to pitch the first perfect game and he's going to win. Any retort to that?
Didn't he just do it all? I think he already pitched one. Yeah, you gotta remember, like, Stevie Richards is, like, as great a shape as he is, and, like, what a great wrestler he is. He's probably one of the biggest nerds ever to step foot in professional wrestling ring. When it comes to, like, video games and stuff like that, man, that guy knows his crap. Like, he's good. But it's one of those things, I laughed because, like, I guess it was, like, 2 days after the game came out, like, it was like, wow, Richard's got, you know, screwed out of $1 million because he threw a perfect game. I'm thinking, wow, I've been playing MLB The Show for years, and before that, like, these, oh, man, I can't get Cole Hamels out of the sixth inning at times. That took some skill, and if anybody's going to be able to do it again, Stevie Richards is that guy.
I'd like to see him do it again.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't you like to see, because he hasn't made enough money over the years, right? Yeah, he was with Vince for like 9 years, right? Oh, man, look at me. Look at me. What's happening to the perfect game?
Unfortunately, we have run out of time, but our goal is to try to have you on back around the All-Star break if your schedule allows.
Sounds good. Hopefully that time I'll be booking for TNA.
From your mouth to the baseball god's ears, the website is ihatestevecarino.com. Yes, that's really the address to his website.
Not only wrestling, but comedy. Wrestling, comedy, Colby Carino, and more.
You got it.
Good job.
Coming up after the break, we'll get back into the WWE and TNA talk here on A New Music Evening. Stay with us on Willow Wrestling Radio.
There was nothing left to me. I touched your face. I held you close. I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans?
then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Some radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network on New Music Night. That's not really new, but it's a really good dance track by a gentleman named Edwin Maya, and the girl is Vika Jingulina, I believe is how you pronounce her name. They're actually going to be here in Tampa in a few weeks, so find that one online. You've also heard Mumford & Sons tonight, My Darkest Days, The Sevenfold, Stone Sour. So you can find those on your local radio stations, iTunes, and all that fun. You can download us on iTunes at any point. You can download us on Click Wrestle. If you're out and about with your friends and you're going, crap, I just realized OWW Radio is on, you can listen to Online World of Wrestling Radio and other WTR programming as well at WTR.wirenode, all one word, .mobi, M-O-B-I. This is an interesting edition of All in World of Wrestling Radio. As I said, we were supposed to have Sid Vicious on, but due to Sid being very, very under the weather, we were happy he even answered the phone to tell us that he was under the weather. He will be trying to join us next week during our WCW tribute event, which we'll recap at the top of at the end of the show, actually. Spug and Mace are back with us. Thanks to Steve Carino for visiting with us. He is awesome. We probably could have gone for another hour with Steve, even though he was cooking, which we forgot to ask him what the hell he was cooking. Mace during the break was going, I want Steve Carino cooking segment. I'm like, good Lord. Do you think ratings will show up if Carino cooks? Is that what you're saying?
I think anything will show up if Carino cooks.
I don't know. We might have to change it from Carino to Curry Man.
I don't know if we can get Curry Man. That would be hard, especially since the dude speaks very broken English from what I've been told.
Speaks well enough.
He'll just want to get the action in. It's like, oh God, go away. Yeah, speaking of spicy and speaking of weird, if you watched Monday Night Raw last night, no, that wasn't a pygmy in the ring during a later segment in the show. No, that wasn't my 2-year-old daughter. That was Nicole Pelosi, I believe is her real name. If you're a fan of Jersey Shore, you know her as Snooki. And WWE took a big old crap in TNA's cornflakes by going, you know, you've had this Angelina chick on, and you've had this JWoww chick on, and you have Becky Bayless playing Cookie. Why do I need the imitation when I can just bring the real deal in? Now, I don't know how much she got paid last night, but word around the campfire was she was well-liked by the talent. Couldn't get over that she was shorter than Rey Mysterio, which when she got to the ring, I don't know about you two guys, but when she got to the ring, I was going, okay, what? How old is she? Is she is like the 8-year-old kid who wrapped off with The Rock? I mean, what's going on here? To Mace and then the Spug. Do we, either one of us have a problem? I mean, Karina mentioned it, you know, that Luthez rolled over in his grave when she hit a Luthez press. But does anybody have a problem with Lay Cool and Dolph Ziggler versus John Morrison, Trish Stratus, and Snooki at WrestleMania?
Yes. Because I was actually looking forward to buying this WrestleMania. Now I'm thinking my $35 might have to go elsewhere. I don't want to pay $35 for what is looking like a goddamn circus act. They seem to be hanging their hats up on everything but wrestling. And this proves as much to that fact as anything else. I sure as hell don't want to watch Jersey Shore on MTV. Why do I want to plonk down $35 to watch her at WrestleMania?
I'm with Maze.
I was laughing during the whole segment. I honestly admit I was sitting there laughing during the segment going, is this really happening? Are we watching Vicky Guerrero and one of the worst? I mean, it was bad enough she was involved in a match at Mania. Now she's, well, it also helps when Late Cool comes out and Michelle McTaker hits Trish with her injured foot cast, knocking her silly. But, I mean, it got WWE what it wanted. If you watched Access Hollywood, Entertainment Tonight, E! News Now, you watched any of the mainstream news programming, guess what was on, kids? You had WWE all over your stuff. And as we talked about when we mentioned how horrible Dixie Carter and them seemed to be about their marketing and whatnot, look at all the millions of dollars in free pub they got from having that little girl show up. And from what I'm told on that Jersey Shore show, she's a walking alcoholic. So I'm amazed she came out and was as prim and proper as she was. I'm sitting there going, does the censor people got the hand on the button going, come on, you little punk, just drop a bomb, please. We want to hit the button. I mean, so did they, but let's look at it in this right from a PR standpoint. Other than any of the guys who I think are the situation and the Pauly D guy is Rob Echoes' base for Robbie E, would it have been better if they had scored one of the guys, or is it pretty good just to have the Snooki there? Would you have rather, would you have been more comfortable if it had been Pauly D or the situation and his abs?
To be honest, they probably did the right thing getting the women there, because anyone who's actually watched 5 minutes of that trash will know that it's the women and they're bitching and they're complaining and they're fighting. That's what drives the show to its success. The guys are there just to, well, to be bunk
Look
buddies.
Stupid.
Well, they're there to be bunk buddies pretty much, if you get the drift. But,
gotcha.
You know,
they're not gay.
That wasn't
was that
what I was meaning, Spug. They're there for the women to get some emergency bow chicka wow wow.
Ah, well.
Break glass in case of emergency.
Pretty much.
Moving on to weirder situations on Monday Night Raw, and that was that little 8-year-old YouTube sensation who came in to play John Cena. That little kid had been sitting there going, oh crap, I'm in a scene with The Rock. This is pretty cool. You know, he finally focused on The Miz, but once again, Is it the go-home episode of Raw? Can we agree with that? Your go-home episode of Raw is when you finally have Dwayne Johnson, The Miz, and Cena, same place, same time. Can we establish that?
I would think so.
We won't get it. You'll be forced to plunk down your hard-earned dollar to see it happen at WrestleMania.
Oh, Kevin Scott's leaving. Damn. Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate it. And Pookie Ray Ray and Big Steve, appreciate you being here as well.
What, Jamal can't call in? All right, Jamal. Fuck you.
No, he said, unfortunately, it was Colin and I. He enjoyed the show. And always, Steve Carino rules.
He's
going to
go pass
weird...
out. He's probably been on the sauce all night.
Yeah, the third weird thing of this was the Maury Povich version of Michael Cole's little coal mining thing, and I'm in a bulletproof case like I'm the Pope, and oh, by the way, Jerry Lawler, let's bring out your son, Brian Christopher, and embarrass the crap out of you. I mean, I know it's a work, I know it's a bit of a shoot, but a little awkward to have Lawler versus Lawler like that. Especially if it's a one-shot.
Was I the only one who wanted to see a return of the concrete mixer that buried Paul Bearer? The second I've seen him in that thing, I'm like, get the concrete truck, please!
The other shocker was Jim Ross, dude. And we'll go into that, too, while you're at it.
Oh, I popped hardcore. Jim Ross always gets a pop. And the fact that he took the hat off, he got the jacket off, he was ready to lay some barbecue smackdown on somebody. I was so waiting for Ross to just throw that right hook and just knock Cole straight on his ass. But unfortunately it didn't happen and we got the weakest freaking ankle lock ever from Michael Cole.
Would you like to see that as a tag match, Bug? Waller and Ross versus Waller and Michael Cole?
No.
Okay.
No, there's no reason to put JR in there.
Well, he possibly may be calling a couple matches, we hope. I mean, they still haven't. That's still the big question. It's like, how are you going to do this? If Cole's going to be competing, Lawler's going to be competing, you just lost your A team because they're going to feud with each other, for God's sakes.
Well, we're going around that's going to be Josh Matthews and Booker T, and Jim Ross comes in to call, I think, from Lawler Cole onwards.
Ah.
I don't like the thought of having Booker T on Mania. I really don't.
Well, they don't exactly have much of a choice as it comes to spare commentators.
Yeah, you got Stryker, you got Todd Grisham, and you got the two guys that do the pre-show for Raw and or for the pay-per-views, and I don't even know those guys' names. I just see them on the thing, and I'm going, oh, show hasn't started yet because they're talking. The fourth weird thing that happened this night, well, fourth is WWE Hall of Fame has dropped the ball again, and that would be the addition of current Price is Right host and former co-star of his own show, Drew Carey is going into the WWE Hall of Fame, gentlemen. Can we just, like, stop this WWE Hall of Fame thing in its tracks now? Or do we just keep going until, I mean, what's next? Mr. T into the Hall of Fame?
Probably.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. Like, you've got Shawn Michaels, you know, great superstar, done a lot for WWE, excuse my hiccuping. Then you got Bullet Bob Armstrong, you know, great wrestler in his own right. Then you got and air quotes here, original diva, Sonny going in, friggin' Coco. And then you've got Drew Carey. We're going on a downward slide here with this class of lame.
Yeah, I mean, you had Shawn Michaels, Hacksaw, Jim Duggan, Bob Armstrong, Sonny, Drew Carey, still rumored Abdullah the Butcher, still rumored Road Warriors. We were going to ask Joel Laurinaitis when he was here last week about it and decided not to because we thought it was going to be announced this Monday. Boy, were we wrong. The other weird situation out of this whole thing was the Raw GM stepped in and said, okay, cool, I'm setting up double, you know, Miz has to wrestle someone a night. Cena's got to wrestle. Fine. The Miz takes on the Great Khali. I was in there going, you know, a matchup that they've never had, and I'm sitting there going, yes, Miz versus Triple H should shut him down. What the hell's Khali doing here, Spug? I mean, didn't you expect your man crush to come out through the curtain and kill him off before Cena can do the job? Or didn't you want that?
What?
Well, if... You walked in very late on Raw, didn't you, Spug?
Yeah,
The opener was, the opening part of it was that the Raw GM stopped Miz from leaving and set up two matches, saying that they were going to have two matches against Cena versus Alberto Del Rio, which was the main, shocking, Cena in the main, and Miz against a former WWE champion, somebody he had never faced before. So I expected Triple H, and all of a sudden, here comes the Punjabi Nightmare or Heartthrob or whatever he is. I mean, and of course, Alex Riley out of nowhere. I'm going to save the Miz. Why? Don't know.
What happened?
Yeah, Alex Riley caused the DQ in that match, and then Miz decided to basically destroy a chair. Khali's back was bleeding. Bob Holly, not as bad as Bob Holly circa ECW 2.0, but there was still a bit of blood going. And I'm like, okay, blood puddle in the ring. Can we take a time out here and clean this up? Yeah. The other amazing thing is we have a new U.S. heavyweight champion, and that would be Sheamus, who actually had a very entertaining, hard-fought match with Daniel Bryan. Yes, hard-fought wrestling on television. Isn't it amazing? Either one of you have a problem with Sheamus being U.S. champion? Would you like to see a rematch at WrestleMania?
The Irish Marshmallow is the U.S. champion.
You betcha.
I don't know.
I kind of have an issue with it. Because you're saying this is a guy who was good enough to hold our heavyweight title, you know, not more than a year ago, and now he's mid-carding with Daniel Bryan. You know? So.
Well, he will actually, not to give away what happens, but this Friday on SmackDown, you will see a champion versus champion match on the show. You'll see the new U.S. champ taking on the current Intercontinental champ, Kofi Kingston. So I don't know if they're leading to a possible unification down the road or not, but it just seems weird that they put him on this losing streak thing, and, well, if I don't beat Daniel Bryan, I'm going home. So, of course, beats Daniel Bryan, and I don't know. I think he's one of those wrestlers right now in the company that you didn't need to put the belt on him. He would have been fine just being Sheamus.
You know, I don't think you needed this
Muscle and Fitness magazine.
I don't think you needed to saddle him with the King Sheamus gimmick, to be honest.
Yeah, because they were talking about that last night, Mace. They said, oh, there's this King of the Ring curse. So I'm going, yeah, Bret Hart didn't exactly have a bad career after he got it, and neither did Owen Hart or, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin seemed to do pretty good.
Triple H won the King of the Ring. I think he did well for himself now.
Yeah, Edge, Booker T, they're trying to play it up as if there's this curse. I'm like, give me a break. Stay in your little glass box there, Michael Cole. Pretty pleased with sugar on top.
I would like him to shut the hell up, to be quite honest. I get that he's trying to play it up, and he's not doing a horrible job, but he's getting to the point where he's starting to overdo it. And he might find himself on his very real visceral backlash if he doesn't learn to tone it down just a tad.
Yeah, but is that creative doing that to him, Spug? Is creative sitting there going, we really want you to be over the top to the point that everybody hates your ass?
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. Because I think when you get to that point, you can never go back. Like, right now, Michael Cole is at a point in his career with the way he's doing things that I don't really think that he could go back to being any semblance of a babyface. Not within the near future.
The other situation to come out of this is that poor CM Punk Mace is going to be all alone at WrestleMania because, once again, Randy Orton beat one of Nexus 2.0. So Mason Ryan is even now off on a shelf. Good storyline, and or you just – I'd get it over with. I just want to see these two fight once and for all.
It's been a good build-up, to be honest. I'm enjoying the little Randy Orton going batshit insane after any match that he's just won, especially this week where he's like Punk slid in the ring and here's Orton right in front of him, foaming at the mouth, pounding the mat, getting ready like he wants to turn around and just eat Punk whole or something.
Rampage is now in Orton's corner, by the way.
Yeah. Rampage has been teaching him how to eat babies.
Indeed.
Uh-huh.
But it's been a great build up. It's called carbo loading before shows.
I'm sure.
But yeah, I've enjoyed the build up to this. I really have, and I can't wait to see these guys go at it at Mania. It's one of the few matches I'm actually looking forward to.
Yeah, and to end our evening, as mentioned, we had Vicky Guerrero defeat Trish Stratus in an ODQ match to set up the Mania match.
I don't think you talk about CM Punk? Fine.
Please do.
I've really enjoyed the build-up. I wish they would have started it a little bit later.
Because now you've got a couple more weeks of sitting here, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I wish the first couple of weeks of build-up would have been Nexus getting the upper hand on Orton. You know, and not necessarily just full-fledged beatdowns, but CM Punk's really good at playing the mental games. And just the first few weeks of seeing them get the upper hand on Orton, and then somehow that, you know, at some point during a match, you know, Nexus comes out, Orton's wrestling, and the Raw GM, you know, sends the email to Cole and says something to the effect of, you know, we're going to have, if you want to face, you know, CM Punk at Mania, then over the next, you know, so many weeks, whatever, you have to fight a Nexus member a week, and all Nexus members are banned at ringside, right? So you have him systematically, week by week by week, up until the last week before Mania, taking out a Nexus member and putting him on the shelf. And then at that Raw, you know, is when you do the confrontation between Punk and Orton, because Punk, you know, after Punk's just finished beating Nexus and he puts Mason Ryan on the shelf, there's Orton. Or I mean, there's Punk. And now Orton doesn't have anybody to protect him.
Well, is this where you bring in former Nexus people like Tarver, who's on the show and then all of a sudden disappeared? Do you bring back some of the original Nexus kids that disappeared, like
Tarver's
Sheffield?
Back in FCW.
Yeah, or do you bring Sheffield back up now finally and go, I didn't get rid of everybody now, did you, Randy?
No, because they're not part of the new Nexus. And forgive me if I'm mistaken here, but the guys he beat, aren't the majority of them going back down to FCW to get repackaged?
I think that's the word around the sites and whatnot, is that everybody's getting repackaged after Mania, so who knows? Were any of you upset with John Cena defeating Alberto Del Rio by DQ? And how many fans at home, when they heard the music, flipped out and said, dude, The Rock is here, The Rock is here, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there going, That's not The Rock, good Lord. But, I mean, it was funny to see Mike Mizanin pull off a Rock impression.
He pulled it off so damn close that it was almost identical. Just a little bit more spray tan, and if he had stenciled on some sort of tattoo on his left arm, it would have been almost perfect.
I'm wondering if they could have, man. If he'd have gone into makeup... I mean, because you essentially have, what, you have a little over 2 hours, you know, between the beginning and the end. And if he'd have gone into some sort of makeup, or you could have started it beforehand, because did he come out? Did Miz wrestled, right?
Miz did a promo, and then Miz wrestled and destroyed Kali with a chair at the end of his segment. But he was
how
the
long,
opening segment.
Okay, how long was his opening segment?
10 minutes.
You would have been looking at probably an hour and a half between the end of the match and when he came out at the end of the show.
I'm almost wondering with an airbrush if you could have got on a tattoo.
Oh, I'm sure they could have gotten some sticker temporary tats of something going on.
Well, if they'd planned this a week in advance, they could have printed up one of those tattoo sleeves.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because think about it. You get him with Mrs. with the Rock's tattoos. And where the camera angles were showing him from at first, that's a dead on for the Rock. That's a dead on.
You know, they filmed him from the side where it hit his left arm, and I actually thought for a second there it was the Rock. And I was like, wow, they really fucking pull one over on everybody.
Right.
But then, you know, they got a bit closer, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's the Miz. This is awesome.
It was a good angle. Remember, one night in Cena.
Oh, please.
No, we found, like, right at the end, like, you know how the Miz threw Cena into the WWE logo thing they have standing on the side of the stage. And, you know, Cena's laying on it, and Miz is, like, so leaning over the thing looking at Cena. Yeah. Never let 4chan get a hold of those type of images. They made that into some real, like, homoerotic love scene stuff.
Oh, it was great.
I'm sure you guys were having a moment and enjoying your cigarettes after. To backtrack for a minute to SmackDown, this week's SmackDown, we're not going to give away anything on the show other than what I mentioned. Announced is supposed to be Edge and Christian taking on the WWE Tag Team Champions. This past week, we got to see Edge and Christian. They defeated Alberto Del Rio and Brodus Clay. Are we enjoying the possibility of E and C back together? Or are we just going, you know, let's get to the inevitable breakup once more?
5 second pose. 5 second pose. 5 second pose.
At Mania, maybe, you never know.
Lucky bastard who got one.
I got one.
That's right. He got one at the SmackDown in Cleveland post show.
I have pictures of
nobody
it too.
Else. Oh, I'm sure they'll be up soon enough on websites and woo. Do I want to know what that is? It is announced. It is official. Do I want to click this thing? Because this may send my computer flying over. I don't need any viruses, man.
It's not a virus.
Okay. You say it's not, but then all of a sudden I get things going off. Oh, dear God. Yes, share that with our chat room fans.
It's already there.
That's just wow. Click on that if you're in our chat room live right now. That's just, wow, that's wrong on so many levels. It has been announced, it is official, Rey Mysterio will take on Dashing Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. So as of now, that is your WrestleMania card. The double world title matches, Lawler versus Cole with Jack Swagger in the corner, Steve Austin is your referee. No Holds Barred Undertaker versus Triple H, CM Punk solo versus Randy Orton, and Lay Cool Dolph Ziggler taking on Morrison, Trish Stratus and Snooki, hopes for a U.S. title match are there. Judging from this past Friday's version of SmackDown, you're looking at possibly Big Show and Kane taking on any variation of the core, maybe taking on Gabriel and Heath Slater, Wade Barrett maybe involved in there. I believe Sorokin typed up for us the possibility of an 8-person match that was supposed to involve Kofi and Christian. Do we even want to see that kind of match? Or are we like, you know, enough's enough? I mean, great. But the problem is you've got to fill almost four hours of time here, 3:45 maybe.
I don't know. Hey, just put in a few more celebrities that we don't want to see and gimmick up a couple more matches. I'm sure that'll get everybody excited.
I'm Justin Bieber making an 8-man tag league, Kulin Ziegler and Hornswoggle versus Morrison, Stratus, Snooki, and Bieber.
Only if Snooki eats the Bieber.
Ooh. That's a little bit more information than I wanted to know about that. Let's transition.
Snooki wants Smush Mush.
Ooh. It has been set up thanks to the folks at USA Network. They have leaked to the people the list of folks that are in Tough Enough 5, which is being heavily promoted on USA Network, even during non-WWE programming. We mentioned it here that one of the one of the men competitors is the former Matt Cross, or M-Dog 20, as he is known. Two other people. Yes, I saw Jersey Girl once, Charlie Sheen versus Zack Ryder at WrestleMania.
That's a headline match if I have ever heard one.
Oh, wow. Can you get asked?
Gary Busey is a special guest referee in the Ultimate Warrior on commentary.
Oh, Lord. the other men competitors, most of these folks were not going to know, and that's okay. Andy Levine, 23, who went as Kevin Hackman in FCW Developmental. He apparently played for the Miami Dolphins and was a star at Florida International. Jeremiah Riggs, a MMA competitor, appeared on Ultimate Fighter. USA Network inaccurately, of course, described him as, quote, trying to become the first legitimate MMA star to cross over to WWE. Hi, I'd like to introduce you to Ken Shamrock and Dan Severin. We also have Martin Casaus, a independent wrestler who USA describes as, quote, the co-owner of Ultra Combat Wrestling Zero. Go ahead, Google it. I have no idea. A young man named Ryan Howe, who is an independent wrestler trained by Tracy Smothers. Another independent wrestler named AJ Kirsch, 27, out of California. Luke Robinson, a personal trainer. Eric Watts. No, not that Eric Watts. This Eric Watts is 25, a former high school star from Los Angeles. And the last of the gentlemen is named Michael Zaki, in quotes. It actually says an unemployed WWE hopeful. The women, as we announced here, one of them is the current reigning Miss USA, Rimka Fakih, F-A-K-I-H, so I apologize if I got her name wrong. Christina Crawford, and this one boggles my mind because she was just under a WWE developmental deal. She is the sister of Victoria Crawford, who is Alicia Fox in WWE. So I'm kind of confused how you have them under developmental and you go, all right, you know what? We're going to fire you and we're going to put you on WWE Tough Enough. I don't get it. This is, you want to talk reality, folks. Here you go. Michelle Dayton, 25, is the wife of Survivor villain Johnny Fairplay Dalton. You have Ivelisse Velez, age 22, is an independent wrestler who works as Juliet the Huntress. And you have 23-year-old Ariane Andrew, a behavior therapist who works with autistic children. Still interested in this because Steve Austin is hosting, boys, or are we sitting there going, you put out this press release courting all in anyone and anyone and tons of indie wrestlers put in and the only real wrestler you got is Matt Cross?
But by my opinion on a t-shirt, meh.
Did you get two packages?
Apparently, yeah. Did I know anyone, or do I remember anyone? I remember everyone from the original Tough Enough Rock because I own the DVD set. Oh, Michelle Fairplay's wife, according to Jersey Girl, was on a season of America's Next Top Model. Did I know them before the show? A couple of them I did, but...
I think I could find those at a craft store.
Well, I guess the lore still is here, the training thing, but I'm still... My mind is still a boggle, Mace, that a couple of years ago, this thing was killed, supposedly, by Spug's Man Crush... And by people like William Regal, who felt, you know, this show is telling everybody about our business and we don't like it. And then, of course, you had people like Road Dogg and Billy Gunn going on RF videos and crapping on it too, saying how these kids were spoon fed and they go in the house and everything. But you and I have also watched the timeline with Ivory, and Ivory talked about how it was the exact opposite, that these kids were so hungry and busting their asses and injured and this and that. So who's right, who's wrong in this situation?
I don't know. To be honest with you, you know, they could be sheltered, they could not be. It's just, I don't know. Like, the amount of people out there that are trying to bust their ass just for a developmental contract, and then you get a whole heap of people who get chosen by a TV network to pretty much skip developmental and get a roster spot. So I still say meh to the whole show, but I'll give it a look. Do we have anybody lying about their age this time?
I sure hope not. I don't know if we want to. I think that may be a thing after Boogie Woogie. Oh, sorry, Boogeyman. Anytime I see him, I still think Jimmy Valiant sitting there going, "But I'm the Boogie Woogie Man, not you, dude." Yeah, it looks like the oldest is the former M-Dog 20 Matt Cross at 30 years old. The girls are 23, 22, 25, 22, 25. The rest of the men are 25, 26, 26, 27, 23, 26, and Riggs is 28, Levine is 23. Apparently,
see, they've had no problem with the guys being over 30, but I think these days, if a diva goes over 30, see you later.
It's Logan's Run situation.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but doesn't that, it's just weird that there were the original casting company for this. I actually reached out to say, you know, would you guys like to come on our program and discuss the actual casting process? And I said, yeah, we'll get back to you. And then next thing you know, they were fired because they went with, oh yeah, independent wrestlers. They went with wrestlers as opposed to the way that it seems WWE decided to cast this show. And you can go to usanetwork.com. And look, and they went for the most photogenic people out there. Shocking. I wonder if these girls had to sign a piece of paper that goes, if you're signed, you immediately go and get boobies.
Yeah, quite possibly. Wouldn't surprise me in the
slightest.
Unless you
look like Bellas, unless you look like Stacey Keebler, and you don't need the boobies in that situation.
As long as something sticks out that makes the boys drool.
Yeah. Or your Snooki's height, and then everybody goes, isn't she cute? I just want to pick her up and hug her.
I still reckon she should have headbutted Michelle McTaker in the boobs.
Yeah, I just, that was just, it was funny, but not at the same time. Is Spug back with us, or is he off doing
his man?
Okay, your email friend replied recently to us, and that would be Shane Cox of Des Moines, Iowa, and, once again, Jerry McDivitt is standing on by on speed dial, F. Lee Bailey and Dershowitz and everyone else are in line too as well, so if something comes of this, the floor is yours, good luck, and may the best man win.
Not necessarily good luck and let the best man win. It's that somehow you've managed to piss me off. And, you know, normally I can take a good ribbing. I can even take being told I'm wrong. But when you sit there and tell me that because I didn't see a band live, I can have no opinion on them, or that you could rip apart my argument in seconds? Dude, you're a fucking professor for a university in the middle of Iowa that doesn't even register. You were in the Navy, okay? And we all know what the stereotype is about men in the Navy. And looking at your picture on your profile for your university, I'd say that the stereotype pretty much fits, dude. Because we all know you ain't getting a woman with that mug. Second of all, that shit bingo hall promotion in ECW, wrestling ain't what it is today without that shit promotion. Because without that shit promotion, you don't have the Attitude Era. You don't have wrestling becoming what it is under the tutelage of Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff, because they stole the best ideas from ECW and put it on a national product. Okay, you want to say I don't know shit about wrestling pre-90s, that I reference the 90s all the time? Because that's the era I grew up in. But like smart analysts and broadcasters, I went back and fucking researched. I live, breathe, and die with wrestling. I sat on my father's floor when I was 3 years old and watched Hulk Hogan body slam Andre the Giant live on pay-per-view. I've gone back time and time and time and time and time again and watched old wrestling footage, documentaries, learning everything I can about the past, present, and future about this business. Tell me I don't know shit about wrestling. When was the last time you stepped through the ropes, huh? You're a fucking smark sitting there at ringside hoping to talk to a legend. Maybe they'll give you the time of day. You can go home and jerk off about it with their merchandise. Shut the fuck up and sit the fuck down next time you open your mouth.
And once again, that is the expressed feelings of Spug, not on my World of Wrestling Radio, not me, not Mace, not anybody else. Take it for what you will. I got to jump in for a second here. Did he say that we couldn't speak about Alice in Chains because we didn't see them live? Is that what he was saying in his email?
No, do you remember
I
a couple weeks?
Didn't read it.
No. Do you remember a couple weeks ago when I asked about, you know, you're from New York, we haven't had the Ramones on here as a music night?
Oh, yeah.
He essentially told me that what do I know about the Ramones? That I'm too young to know anything about them. So, because I didn't, and essentially because I never saw them live, that I'm not allowed to have an opinion. I'm not allowed to go.
I've never seen them.
Yeah.
I've never seen Ozzy Osbourne live. Guess what? We played his music a few weeks ago. I never saw Jimi Hendrix. I played his stuff a couple weeks ago. Hendrix was long gone before my parents ever met, let alone got married, dude.
Dude, it's... I'm sure come Saturday or Sunday, there will be another email forwarded from you to my inbox with him trying to defend himself. Dude, don't bother. I'm done. I originally tried to bury the hatchet and be friends and explain to you that I'm not a politically correct individual, that if you don't get my brand of humor, that's fine. I understand. But don't come with me with your vitriol about me being racist when you don't know me and don't know a damn thing about me. And then this email? Dude, I'm done. I don't want to hear another word out your mouth about me. Don't email Alan. Don't email me. I don't want to hear it. You want to talk about the show? That's fine. You go ahead and email Alan all you want about that. But my name better not come out your mouth again, because I'm done with it.
Yeah, we're almost done tonight. Sid, I apologize on Sid Vicious not being here tonight. If you joined us late, Sid Vicious was supposed to be on the program with us. However, he was very, very, very under the weather, and apologize to all three of us when we called. We're going to work on trying to have him a part of this coming Tuesday's event.
Oh, I forgot about this little tidbit. I just looked at the email again. So he bags on me, right, about talking about Ohio State with Joe Laurinaitis. The dude's son was one of the best linebackers at that school. It is only proper, as interviewers, that we bring it up.
And you can actually check that out in our archives, because I had a lot of people this past weekend when I was at ASW, Stroker's Billiards hit me up and said, dude, that awesome interview was awesome. I said, fine, forward it along to all your friends.
That was a really good interview. I was really proud of it.
Yeah, we're not a dumb podcast that just got him on the luck. I was.
And considering two other shows got him after us and we listened to a couple of the interviews, we did better.
Thank you.
We really did do better.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I jump up and down in the middle of the ring like Michael Cole for a minute here and go, I'm awesome. I am awesome. Ah, forget that crap.
We have some of the best interviews, bar none, on the internet.
Yeah. I want to thank Shockage from the OW Genesis Forum for taking my photo down that somehow ended up on somebody's avatar. Some jerk decided. He took a photo of me from my wife's baby shower in 2008 that my mom took of me wearing. I got ransacked at the shower. I originally was going to go watch the Bucks game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneer game with my now father-in-law, and they ransacked me and threw a pink shirt on me, a pink headband that said the dad, and these armbands that were just horrible. And this person took it upon themselves to use that as their avatar. So I very politely emailed Chockage, who is one of the masters of the OWW Genesis forum, and said, I don't have a problem with this person being on the forum. I do have a problem with him using my personal property that he didn't come to me and go, yeah, I'd like to use your photo.
Why'd you take my avatar picture down, dude?
It wasn't you.
Why would you do that? The next step was to put baby on there somehow.
Can I just say something?
I have Photoshop. We can work that in.
Yeah. Can I say something? God. Can I say something? No, people at the OW Genesis Forum, tune into the show. OW Radio Tuesday nights. Download the archive. Interact with us. We want to hear from you. Call in. Number is... Well, if you have a cell phone, it's free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, Shane Cox in the email says he doesn't get to call in and defend himself. Hey, Shane, tell you what, not this Tuesday, because we have very important work to do. So I really can't be bothered to deal with this. But I tell you what, buddy, the 29th, you call in 10:45 p.m. on Tuesday. This is East Coast time, mind you. On Tuesday, March 29th, I guarantee you, I'll give you all the time you want. And you can have it out with me, whatever. Because that was one of the things in his emails that he wants to directly confront me.
That's fine. I'm all for that. The invitations out there to other shows too. You think I'm a pompous ass? Cool. I got 10 years of doing this stuff. What do you got? I've covered TNA wrestling since day one.
Did you?
I'm just a retard with a microphone.
Yeah.
Did you really? You were actually there at TNA wrestling covering wrestling?
Shocking, isn't it?
Totally shocking. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They had wrestling in TNA?
Yeah. And I'm not interviewing basketball women and reality show people. I know I'm not supposed to be doing this right now, but I'm out of material, so I don't really give a crap.
Then let's pimp and go home.
Oh, I'm totally gonna pimp.
I got one.
Mace pimp.
People, if you own a PS3 or a 360, Xbox 360, next week, while you're listening to OWW Radio, go online and download the WWE All-Stars demo. Featuring the Ultimate Warrior!
Yes!
And Rey Mysterio.
When does that game come out? Is that coming out by Mania, or when does it come out?
29th.
End of March.
Out just
demo.
In time.
Yep.
Is it going to be the old school looking characters, or is it just like as real as
like
real can get?
Cartoony.
They're it's arcade style.
Oh, wow.
So think of it like that. It's arcade big, they're over exaggerated characters.
Far out. Also found out from a few friends, J.W. Anderson is a referee for ASW, and Ricky Romeo is a wrestler here in Florida. If you have Netflix and you have the streaming, you can use your online to get it. The History of WrestleMania is available. The Chris Jericho most recent DVD is available. Apparently the Bobby Heenan DVD is available. I watched the documentary part of the Big Show's recent DVD. So use your Netflix. Big Show was interesting. They did what I didn't want to have happen, which was gloss over WCW is blip. And I'm like, hi, the guy got founded there. You could have done a whole bunch of stuff. But instead, we talk more about the big bus he drives around in.
I was impressed by that bus.
Yeah, that bus was pretty mac. I think Toby Keith owned it or something, I think he said.
Yeah.
Which I want to know. Is that the bus that he smoked weed with Willie Nelson in? Because there'd be a lot of contact high still on that bus. But use your Netflix account to definitely check those out. I'm definitely going to be going out and getting the History of WrestleMania. Mace has already done it. He has his review of the timeline history of ECW 1997 online. You can get that through wildtalkradio.com. Mine should be up in the next couple days. I have to rewatch it just to catch some of the glitches and stuff that I may have missed. But if you're a fan of the product, I'm not, so it's a little different for me to review as opposed to Mace or Spug or Jersey Girl as an ECW original fan.
ECW.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, ECW. At one point, Steve Corino was actually a stockholder because of his owning WWE stock. He owned ECW 2.0. Check it out, because you want to know if Animal laughed at that commercial, Jersey? He did. He peed his pants laughing.
He loved the commercial, but he said that I was too clear to imitate the Warrior. In other words, I need to make it sound even worse.
And need
to work on hiding my Australian accent just that little bit more.
Yeah, it's like, but he was laughing his ass off. So definitely, any of our WrestleMania memories guests, you can go through clickwrestle.com. You can find the archive at OWW Genesis as well.
We could also talk to Sid next week if he's willing to talk about wrestling.
Oh God, yes.
We could bring up WrestleMania.
Yes, we could.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because
the man was one of the victims.
Yeah, he was victim in WrestleMania 13 to the Dead Man.
He was also at WrestleMania 8.
He was a victim to Hulkamania, brother.
Whatever.
Yeah.
He hasn't got a good win streak at WrestleMania, does he? Poor boss.
No. He was ringside at 11. He got the bigger pop than Shawn Michaels and Diesel did, and we'll definitely ask him about that. Definitely, don't forget, the movie is called River of Darkness. It's in stores and online the 29th of March. We'll mention it again with Sid next week. Let me run the rest of the OWW Radio roster for the next couple weeks, and then we'll pimp WTR next Tuesday, starting at 9 o'clock. If Sid is on next week, there will be no news, unfortunately, because we're going back in time to WCW, baby. Back when Eazy-E had dark hair. When TNT actually had wrestling on it and was kicking WWE's ass for 88 weeks in a row. Believe me, I know. I still got the NWO shirt to prove it, bitches. Back when the NWO meant something before DX got really, really cool. You had World Championship Wrestling. We're going to go back. We're going to look at what the hell happened. You had the human ATM and Ted Turner, kids. If Sid Vicious is not here, which we're hoping he is, 9 o'clock, former WCW commentator, former TNA commentator, was a part of the last WCW Nitro. He was ringside for the first WCW match on Monday Night Raw, which was Booker T versus Marcus Alexander Bagwell. Scott Hudson will be here. He'll talk WCW with us. He'll probably do a little bit of TNA. He'll do a little bit of some legal stuff since he's got the background.
Is he a lawyer, really?
Yes.
No, he's not a lawyer, but he works. He works for the U.S. government. Yeah, that's all I can say without getting into trouble.
He works in some type of legal thing.
Yes, he works for the U.S. government, and that's as far as we go, because if we talk anymore, he may have us taken out.
Yeah.
And I really like having Scott as a friend, and I don't want to die! Speaking of second WCW guest, former WCW tag team champion with his mom, he nearly had his career ended on WCW television and had one of the pimpinest hats in professional wrestling. Guy who, once he starts talking, I don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. Marcus Buff Bagwell is on this show next week. Sid Vicious may or may not be here. Good Lord willing, he is. So if Sid's here, we may have Sid at 10 and Buff at 11. If that's the situation, you're going to have to go to allmywillowrestling.com, to wildtalkradio.com to get your wrestling news, because we're not going to have time, man. The 29th is our WrestleMania preview. I know Spug has said he'll be around. Graham Cawthon has said he'll be around. Jersey Girl said she was probably going to call in since she's going to WrestleMania. My friend Michael Gorey, who also has Mania tickets, may be calling in. I'm working on Scott Fishman and Jim Barcelone. Phil Strum said if his job allows him to, he'll be here. Kevin Scott will be here. Anthony Castellano may or may not be here. I'm working on another big journalistic name that I won't name now, but when you hear the name, you'll go, oh, crap, you got him? Yes, we got him. Looks like after Mania on the 5th, we will obviously do a recap. We may or may not have a guest. We're working on it. And as said in April, we do have a set up with Larry Dallas and Rebby Sky and possibly Jimmy Jacobs, who's involved in Evolve and Dragon Gate USA. They have an event in mid-April in New York City. So we may or may not have them. The best part of this is, and I know I'm about to get shot at, because, yes, I love this network. I love being on it. It's a really cool place to work. It's not a place with friends, and they may not be on the air 24/7, but people actually listen to us.
Oh! Bravo!
Bazinga, sir.
Bravo, Wojcik! Now yeah, you're getting the spirit of being around here.
Yeah.
Only took him a year.
Yeah. I'm a nice person. That's the funny part. I'm such a nice person, and then people try to poo in my Rice Krispies, and this is what that's what I get for being nice. So forget that.
You see, this is why I'm so popular, because I'm a dick.
Yeah. Oh, Jersey Girl may be available for the recap too. That works, especially. Are you going to the Raw and the SmackDown, Jersey, or are you just going to Mania? Because who knows?
I know she's going to Hall of Fame and Mania. She'll probably call in the CB radio. And we also have Rob Parks, who will be at the Hall of Fame, too.
Oh, get out of here. That's pretty cool. Rob's going to be there.
He's in.
Oh, she's going to Raw. She says in her chat she's going to Raw.
Rob got one of the booths, and he's going to be in a suite at the Hall of Fame.
Lucky bastard.
Yeah, I believe for free.
Free!
That's always the way to go. That's always the way to go. Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, Otaku Talk Live with the Spug, the Omega, the Mace. Pimp your show, please.
Otaku Talk Live, otherwise known as That Geek Show with the people that yell and scream and are very racially insensitive, especially because one of them owns Pokemon Black, the other one owns Pokemon White. Also, find out what new Pokemon Omega caught on Monday night. you shall be amused. Let's
top
just
of
say
the
that
hour,
much.
Top of the hour, you'll hear it. Listen to it.
Yep. And also, just a small personal note for me, to all like American or New Zealand or Asian listeners of this show, please get a hold of me at themacething@gmail.com. I am on a mission to try and get a copy of Mortal Kombat for PS3 imported for personal use in my country. It has been banned. I need someone to help me smuggle a copy in.
Yeah, but that game that teaches oral sex is okay.
Yeah.
Wait, whoa. Back to Carl for a second. Mortal Kombat is not allowed in Australia.
But
the latest Mortal Kombat game has been banned in Australia. The appeal happened on Monday. It was also denied, so it is now upheld.
Can Kylie Minogue step in? Wasn't she in the first Mortal Kombat movie?
No, it's Street Fighter.
Damn.
I'm looking for someone to help me work out a way to get a copy sent here so I can get a hold of it, because I really want to play this game. Luckily, PS3 is a region free with their gaming. I just need somebody to help me. I will pay shipping, whatever. You know, I've got no problems with that. I just need somebody to help me out. So get a hold of me at themacething@gmail.com. There will be no legal ramifications on your behalf. I am the one taking the risk fully.
And then we'll get a fund together to bail Mace out of jail.
Just to go over what Spug's mentioning, there is a game coming out called We Dare, which is a very sexually suggestive, sexually themed party game on the Nintendo Wii that has actually been given a PG rating here in Australia, yet Mortal Kombat was banned. Go figure.
Get the crap out of here,
no,
man.
No, I'm being dead serious.
I never understand this stuff. Anything Goes is on hiatus for the moment. Before CB Radio this Saturday, there will be From Tapouts to Knockouts because of UFC 128. Who's on that card?
Is it 128 or is it a fight night? I think it's a fight night.
No, it's UFC 128.
Is it 128? John Bones Jones versus Mauricio Shogun Hua.
Yes.
Are you coming, Alan? You can come watch.
I'll have to figure out what's going on for the weekend. I'm not 100% sure yet what my schedule is.
You'll have to ask the missus.
No, I really don't know what I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. You want me to, other than typing up the recap of this shindig?
Ooh, I'm just looking over the card now. We have Crow Cop on the card.
Yeah, Crow Cop's on the card. I saw that. Your missus can come on, too.
Oh, God.
We promise we won't get her to embarrass you again.
Yes, we will.
I wasn't embarrassed. I thought it was funny that you guys had her on. She thought it was funny. She had a couple friends that said, oh, heard you were on one of Alan's colleague's shows. Like, yeah. It's like, talking about Justin Bieber? Like, yeah. I was like, okay.
And we made a commercial out of it.
Yeah, which I also think is very funny, and I'm appreciative that I can be parodied like
oh,
that.
Oh, just you wait. Evening. There's more coming your way.
Oh, dear. Whatever. Awesome.
But yes, Tapouts and Knockouts live-ish this Saturday night. Speaking of if CB Radio follows it, because we'll be talking about whatever we kind of think of. Tune in. You'll never know what we do. CB Radio.
And Johnny Casimir's program is on download. Life is Callous is available for that setup. There is no pay-per-view this Sunday. Thank God. We don't have to watch TNA all over again. So you can join Spug, Mace, Will if he's around, Omega, Tim Stein, Sorokin behind the glass, as they say in the radio industry, for the original Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yeah,
thanks, Jason.
What? It's iconic, not original. He calls it iconic for some reason. I don't know why.
Okay, you're the iconic, the showstopper, the main event!
He
for
is,
dear God.
He was the heartbreaker at one time, Tim Stein.
But the guy hates Shawn Michaels and he was called the Heartbreaker. Okay.
I can't make this stuff up.
And don't forget, plenty of t-shirts still available at cbradio.ewazone.com.
Buy
a meh t-shirt.
Buy.
And coming out soon, the next Mace-inspired t-shirt.
Bleep Knuckle?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the deal on your Bash in the Books? Is that on hiatus as well?
It's on hiatus until stories get better. Because let's face it, the comics are just dying in the ass at the moment. But if it returns, I shall let you know. Other than that, there has been, you know, from Mind of Mace special editions posted on wildtalkradio.com. It's where I bash the rock and I review DVDs.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thanks, Jason Dedrich, Brad Dyke, and Shockage from OWW Genesis for helping me out this week. Yeah, and I'm about to. You thought Bieber was bad. I'm playing Britney, bitches. That's
no,
right. Britney Spears' new album.
No, you didn't pick Britney. Read your little message. You didn't pick Britney. You picked Lady Gaga.
Oh, that's right. I picked Gaga's Born This Way. Even weirder than Bieber. Yeah. All in World of Wrestling Radio. OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. I may not be on 24/7, but I'm better than you. See ya. In a glass of purple dry. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold on.